about.
You gotta put it in
perspective. You both.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
VIG.
Really, we just got to put first things first. And first things first, as governor, I love my job and I love Alaska.
Shame on you. God is looking down on you and shaming you.
Have you tried listening to the always entertaining and frequently informative Kevin and Bean Show?
Come on. Have you tried listening to the always entertaining and sometimes informational?
That's just not good.
My fellow Americans, I pose this simple question to you. Are you better off now than you were when this disappointing show began?
And now, you're handsome and smart and a hard worker.
Thank you.
And, let's be honest, white. That's a huge plus nowadays.
Our feature presentation.
Nowadays.
I don't think that's true nowadays.
Yeah, white man can't be president anymore. What are you talking about, Tony Soprano? Who misses that show, by the way?
Right here.
Sopranos, me.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that yesterday. There are just a handful of shows that go off and you still remember them years later and still wish they were on and you still miss them. Like, Sundays roll around now and I'm like, hey, where's my Sopranos? Oh, right.
My wife got me the box set of all of them.
Yes.
And that's just going through them. You just go, wow, this show was so good.
So well written.
I just totally forgot how, you know, high quality it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I have Nurse Jackie. You watch that?
I love Nurse Jackie.
Bean, you watch that?
I saw the first one, I think. Maybe. Yeah, I think I just saw the first one. And I thought it was good. I just haven't really had much time to get back to it.
She's great. It's great.
She's a great actress,
yeah, it's
though.
Way better than good.
Really like that show. And Weeds is back.
Weeds is great.
Weeds has been great.
Yeah. Is great.
Yep. But we need more of those. There's not that many.
They do like, this is the strangest thing. They do like 3 episodes of Weeds per year for season. That's it. Very slow working people.
Yeah, most channels are still airing things like Dance Your Ass Off, which apparently is the big summer hit this year. Yeah. The fat people dancing show. Yeah.
Apparently
it's doing well, yeah.
Is it a weight loss show or a dancing show?
I think it's both.
It's both. They're really fat.
My understanding is, and I haven't seen it, but my understanding is that the score, it's a total Dancing with the Stars ripoff. It's exactly the same show as Dancing with the Stars. But apparently your score is what you get for the dance added to however much weight you lost that week.
Awesome. How do I not know about a show called Dance Your Ass Off?
Dance Your Ass Off is what it's called, yeah.
Look, you could take every single reality TV show that's been on, from Color of Money to The Bachelor to everything. Put fat people in. You got yourself an all-new show.
That's true.
That's right.
And there are plenty of fat people. We will never run out.
They have that new dating game that's all fat people.
Yes.
Really?
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, God.
What's it called? Tubbs? I can't remember. What's
it has some demeaning name, too. But it's essentially The Bachelor for overweight women.
Right.
Is the guy overweight, too? Or he just digs fatties?
I want a fat midget show. That's the show I want to see. Obese midgets would be the best.
I'd be into that.
Yeah.
Honestly, hey, it doesn't matter if it's Survivor or American Idol.
It would be funny with Survivor. Oh, they'd be so cranky.
They'd be cranky, but they wouldn't need to eat for like a month. They'd be fine.
A month.
They're storing it up. They'd be good.
Here's some chocolate, Fatto.
Hey, listen, we're going to get to your calls in a moment for Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. But we also need to give out a different phone number this morning for something that we're going to do. We're going to put a cap on the Michael Jackson coverage today because, let's face it, we've all had enough, seen enough, right? So today we thought the great way to really say goodbye to Michael would be with Michael Jackson jokes. And we know they started flying within 20 seconds of his death. In fact, Kevin, if I recall, we got an Afro call yesterday. That might be a good one to kind of kick off the Michael Jackson jokes from the audience this
morning. We did. So we're changing the Afro line so that this is now just for you to call in with Michael Jackson jokes.
Okay.
Now, we understand that a certain amount of you will be very upset by this. Maybe this isn't the day for you. That's all.
Yeah.
You don't need to go crazy.
You can choose to go do something else.
Here's the call we got.
So why does Michael Jackson like 28-year-olds? Because there's 20 of them. How does Michael Jackson pick his nose? Out of a catalog. What does Michael Jackson like best about showering with 12-year-olds? With her hair wet, they look 10.
Okay. Now, so now, that's funny, right?
Clearly that's funny, but inappropriate.
Sir.
And nothing
many jokes are.
And nothing had ever been proven about the child molestation and all that kind of stuff. So we're just admitting up front, listen, we're not trying to rewrite history. We're not hanging on to all the bad stuff of Michael Jackson. We just want jokes. And jokes make you laugh. Okay. So that's what we're looking for. The number's 323-520-AFRO.
All right, so we'll have Michael Jackson jokes throughout the day on the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO, or you can call us right now with anything else except for Michael Jackson jokes at 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
How about a pair of tickets to join us at Six Flags Magic Mountain? There's a free concert featuring Amberlin and Metric. Two pretty good bands, and that is going to be on Saturday, July 18th. Nothing like free amusement park, free rock and roll. That's what you get for being on Kevin and Bean's What to Do, Nephew.
All right. I thought I was, I thought I doubted things. You know, I'm a guy who questions things, and I go, that doesn't look like what it appears. That's ridiculous. But let's go to Boris. Hey, Boris.
What to do?
What to do?
Hey, yeah. I mean, the speech, the daughter, fake. Completely fake.
Okay, so we're talking
speech?
About the memorial service for Michael Jackson yesterday at Staples Center when Michael Jackson's daughter got up and said that she missed her dad and loved him. You think that that was fake?
Completely fake.
Tell me what you mean by fake. Meaning somebody wrote it for her? Meaning she didn't mean it? What?
Meaning that wasn't her his daughter?
Her crying was completely fake. There was no tears. And her crying.
Wow.
It was booing, and it was just...
How old is that girl?
11.
11, yeah.
I didn't buy it.
I'm more cynical than most people, I think. But I don't know that I would go that far.
It was her dad, you know.
Yeah, allegedly.
Oh my God. So okay, let's take it to the next level. If it were fake, and I think what you're saying is you mean by that she wasn't really sad. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think she was sad at
all. Okay, then what was the point of the exhibit? Why put her up there to say into the microphone that she missed and loved her daddy if she wasn't sad? What's the reason behind it?
I don't know. Sell more records, probably. I don't know. Try to make money.
All right. Okay. Listen, it's your theory's out there. You know that, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay, as long as you're aware that what you're saying is completely ridiculous.
Dude, I mean,
I'd give it a out of 100%, I'd give that a 5% chance of being real. So it's there, you know. I mean, I think you're right. 5%, 95%, no way.
I agree with you guys. I don't know why it was staged, but it absolutely looked staged to me.
All right. Listen.
Okay. All right, Boris. I just think it's another 9/11, as far as I'm concerned. That's what I'm saying. By the way,
Michael's not even dead.
Yeah. we were saying in the office, oh, would it be awesome if he jumped out of the casket right at that moment when they were showing it?
Yep.
Yeah, and then like this whole thing was publicity for the show. I'm sorry, Lisa.
Could I hear Lika Jackson?
Did that.
Be the best.
Yeah, and that's a little inappropriate as well, but that's what we're looking for today.
Yeah. I thought Janet looked pretty hot, by the way. You know, her weight swings wildly, so she's kind of lucky that her brother died while she was on the downside rather than on the upside, so she could look great at the funeral.
I'm sure she thought of that, too.
Yeah. Oh, thank God he died while I'm not fat.
Let's try John, line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, John. Welcome to the program. What it do?
What it do? What's up, Lisa? Mwah, mwah, mwah.
Hey, John.
Wow.
What's going on? Hey, do you want to talk about Rescue Me? You guys are talking about TV shows. Rescue Me, I think it's a great show, man.
I do, too. I love it. I watch it every week.
That's FX, right?
Yes.
Yep.
What FX. Time, what day?
I don't know. I TiVo it.
Tuesdays at, 10 o'clock, but out here in DirecTV at 7.
Okay. So. And the reason I ask that is because we really do talk negatively about most stuff, and it's not that interesting for us to go, wow, is that a good show? But that's a good show.
It is. Dennis Leary, fireman in New York.
Has been. Awesome. I mean, it was, how many seasons have been on? 4 now?
I think this is the 4th, yeah.
Really
that
great.
The 4th.
Yeah.
Yep.
You are correct.
Yep. Hey, that's first time I saw where the shocker came from.
What?
Where the what came from?
The shocker. You don't know what the shocker is?
No.
I don't remember that.
Two in the pink, one in the stink.
Okay.
Right. Is that where that came from?
You hold on.
Speaking of that, let's try Mark on line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. We got time for one more. Hey, Mark.
What'd it do?
What'd it do, Mark?
What'd it do?
Hey, actually, I was wondering, you know, given the current political situation, we're kind of getting more, getting the censorship police, you know, are going away.
Right.
Any chance of Sex U coming back?
Oh, none. You mean you think that things are loosening up now?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to be hopeful, all right?
Listen, I mean, we all hope that that's the direction that we're moving in, but it certainly hasn't moved in that direction yet. And I'll tell you why. Because whatever the FCC is doing, they're doing. Our company, on the other hand, is scared out of their minds.
Yes.
And it takes a long time for it to trickle down from the FCC changing to our company not being as scared out of their minds. So they won't put up with anything. Our company doesn't even have anything to do with the FCC anymore. So that blows.
It's funny how quickly it goes in the toilet, but how long it takes to get out of the
correct.
Toilet.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's like your weight. You could gain 50 pounds in a day, and then it takes you 50 years to get that back off.
That's exactly right.
That's true.
It's not okay. Thanks.
So your information is incorrect, is what we're telling you, is that it is not easing up at all. Thanks for the call, though.
What's amazing about it is nobody stops us, right. And that's what blows me away. Because I think some of the stuff I say, I can't believe that the FCC isn't all over this radio program.
Well, hard to believe.
Yeah. By the way, Janet Jackson should go on Dance Your Ass Off. She already has dancing experience.
Right, but she's not fat enough.
No, but she will be.
Give her a
okay.
week.
Next season,
amazing.
Yeah.
She is amazing in that she can gain 500 pounds in 10 days.
Yeah,
give her a week and she could destroy on that show.
I'm telling you, she's going to end up like Luther Vandross. That's what killed him, remember, was losing and gaining 150 pounds a year. I mean, that's rough on the system, right, Mike?
Oh, yeah. No, it's totally taxing in her system.
He was a jazz, light rock type singer?
R&B singer, R&B. Yeah.
You know, Jared, remember,
he had diabetes too on top of it. But he was just his weight just fluctuated like crazy. I mean, he was huge, and then he was emaciated. It's so like Carson Daly.
Carson
Daly has never been huge.
He gained a bunch of weight for that movie. Chapter 27, Jared Leto did. He had to
yes.
And then he got the gout.
And then he had to lose it again. He got a myriad of health problems. It's not healthy at all.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. It's the 8th of July. Kid in the ass.
It ain't natural.
And on today's program, we're going to talk to Anil, who was down there at Staples Center yesterday.
He was there for the whole thing.
During that first, during that first 25-minute break.
Yeah, they weren't ready, really.
They weren't ready at all.
They started, and then they had nothing.
We were texting Anil. We were like, get up there and say something. Let's move this along.
He was close enough. He probably could have jumped up on the stage.
He said there are hundreds of cops.
Oh.
And this is how he put it, and thousands of Muslim security guards.
Ooh.
Not Muslim. What's the word?
Nation
of Islam, yeah. So he said, I don't think I'm going to be doing that so much.
Yeah.
We have a special guest on the program today, and I have rarely looked forward to a movie more than this. But Bruno will be on the show today.
What's up?
Bruno.
Awesome.
Yeah, smacking up the pitches. Ach, yeah.
Now, when does that come out? Is it this Friday or next weekend?
Thursday night at midnight is what I heard.
Of this week?
Yes.
Awesome. Could not be more excited about that. That's going to be great. We have a hero. I'm just going to say it. We have a hero here at K-Rock.
We do.
One of the people who we work with yesterday acted in a heroic way.
Really?
I know you don't know the story yet, but we'll tell you.
Okay.
And the person who's the hero will surprise the hell out of you.
Any of you would surprise the hell out of me.
That's true. So we got that coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We have an author who we think you will not love very much. Her name is Sarah Simmons, and she's written a book called Having an Affair, Handbook for the Other Woman.
Okay. Woohoo.
This is the woman who allegedly, I don't know if it's allegedly or if she's come out and said it, but has had or had a like a 7-year fling with Gordon Ramsay, the chef.
Oh no. She's a whore.
While he
was married.
With kids, yeah. So that's probably going to go over well. She has a book out with tips on how to be the other woman. Good times.
Okay.
Whore!
So we got that coming up on this morning show. And we also have the Killers at the Hollywood Bowl, which we will give you tickets for and qualify you for the grand prize drawing on that.
And again, the Michael Jackson jokes are going to be inappropriate. We're telling you that up front. They are, and yet we find them funny. So that number is 323-520-AFRO. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 5:53.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning. Apparently, Ralph is on the way down. Apparently, Ralph, instead of an alarm clock this morning, he got a wake-up telephone call from producer Alex. So that's what's happening there. So we'll fill in with a look at the showbiz beat for a Wednesday morning. We got to start, as much as you hate it, we got to start with the biggest showbiz story in the world, which is yesterday's Michael Jackson Memorial.
Yeah, Ralph, by the way, is the one. He was boycotting Michael Jackson in the showbiz.
He was,
but
yeah.
He's not here, so we do what we do.
All right.
But I think I can reasonably say that today is going to be probably the last day of Michael Jackson coverage. I think after today, I think even we're out. But we are going to talk to our token black listener and Kevin and Bean correspondent Anel Rivers just after 6 o'clock. He was actually there. There were some bizarre moments yesterday. And I think my favorite thing that happened all day was Al Sharpton's speech because it was the only thing with much excitement and energy. Al, by the way, and there's a lot of things to dislike about Al. Al brings it when he gets behind a podium, man. That dude can talk.
The ability to preach, I think, is a lost art. I mean, I think it really is an art to be able to. Yeah. Jesse Jackson does the same thing. Yeah. There are very few people that can really, really grab a hold of your emotions and just take them on a ride when they talk.
Mm-hmm.
Where was Jesse, by the way? He was all over the coverage in the week, you know, in the week leading up to the memorial service. Why didn't he speak yesterday?
I don't know why he didn't speak, but he was there, and I saw him interviewed afterwards. I mean,
yeah,
he was at Staples.
What's up with that?
I think I heard most of it on the radio, and I heard he was supposed to speak, but then never did. So I don't know, but that could have been.
Well, anyway, Al Sharpton gave a great speech where he talked, as other speakers did on the day, about how groundbreaking an entertainer Michael Jackson was, and he gave him some real props for some of the things that he did. Some of the same sort of thing, by the way, that Magic Johnson and Kobe Bryant talked about, which is, you know, Michael kind of opened the world up to black celebrities, and it was easier for guys like us to come after him because he was already so popular. So he got a lot of credit for that. But he did say one thing to the family, Al Sharpton. That was the most hilarious moment, perhaps unintentionally, of the whole day.
I want his three children to know, wasn't nothing strange about your daddy. It was strange what your daddy had to deal with.
Okay, I understand that the idea of the memorial service is to put the deceased in the best possible light, but can you stand there with a straight face, Al, and say there was nothing strange about Michael Jackson, who made out with chimps, who was the plastic surgery freak,
yeah,
with the elephant man's bones in the oxygen chamber, and on and on and on and on and on.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, that's. They really do try to whitewash everything. I mean, that
no
really
pun
is
intended.
The
yeah.
goal is to, you know, take away all the negatives. But you're right. This isn't even stuff that was illegal or whatever. It was all weird. It was just weird.
Look at a picture of Michael Jackson on the Thriller album cover. Look at a picture of him last week before he died.
Right.
Now tell me there's nothing strange about that guy, man, creature, whatever he is. It was hilarious, though, when he said that. So, good times.
Jenna Fisher.
Yes.
You know her as Pam on The Office?
Love her.
Yes.
Engaged.
Wow. Really?
She became engaged to her boyfriend of a year and a half, writer Lee Kirk, when the pair were vacationing in Europe last week.
How romantic.
He's so lucky.
He is. She's
he really
great.
Is. She seems like the best. Apparently, they found out because some paparazzi were watching them in Europe, and she, of course, was sporting the ring.
Yeah.
So then they asked him, and it looks like they are engaged.
Okay, yeah. Good for her.
So I wish her luck, unless, you know, something can work out between me and her. And then
and still hold out hope, are
that'd
you?
Be even cooler.
Let me tell you who the smartest man in the world is Michael Bay. He doesn't get a lot of critical respect, but he certainly does make the box office smashes. He's the director, of course, of the Transformers 2 movie that I think has made, I think this number is right, I think it's already over $600 million worldwide. So we're getting into territory where it's, you know, it's already one of the biggest motion pictures ever made.
Right.
But that's not why he's so smart. According to this new report, and I have not seen this anywhere before, Megan Fox was interviewing with the Guardian newspaper in the United Kingdom. And she said that her audition for Transformers, you guys will love this so much, was Michael Bay having Megan Fox wash his Ferrari while he filmed her.
What?
Are you
your
serious?
Goddamn mouth.
What?
No
what
you, way.
What is
now,
really?
Who knows if she was joking? She's got a sense of humor too. But if that's true, then God bless Michael Bay. How smart are you if Megan Fox shows up at the other? Yeah, I'm going to need you to see that. Put on some short shorts and wash my car, bitch. I mean, come on.
Try to get wet if you can.
There's
no way that she would do that without doing it as a joke. I mean, really.
You mean say it or wash the car?
Wash the car.
Because remember, she shows up for the audition. She's been in nothing. She's brand new on the scene. No acting.
Oh, before the first one.
This was before the first one, yeah. So, and you know, you
even
show up.
So, though, the actor,
and they say to you, well, you got to wash this car. We're going to film it. I mean, you kind of do it if you think you got a shot at being in Transformers, don't
you? Excuse me, sir. She had a one-time appearance on Hope and Faith.
That's right.
Oh, I forgot.
Here's my question. Where is the video of that?
That's a good question.
She said it was filmed, but she has no idea where the tape is. So, Michael Bay, when the Transformers 2 DVD comes out, we are going to expect to see that as an extra, and we're going to expect to see it in some sort of super high-def Blu-ray.
Didn't Ralph do a story yesterday about how she was talking bad about Michael Bay and how he was not interested in the story so much as special effects?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. That's been what she's been saying at a lot of these red carpet world premieres, which is, look, let's not get too excited about it as a movie. It's really just a summer spectacle is all it is. She's kind of downplaying it as art.
Which, by the way, I think is
accurate.
According to Ralph's report yesterday, he was very upset, but I believe that is 100% of public perception.
Absolutely.
With him. I mean, that's him. That's what you get when you go to his movies.
Exactly, yeah.
Alec Baldwin is always talking about politics. Now he's still even more. He's thinking about running for Congress. He's thinking about running for Congress.
He's always been pretty active politically. I can understand that.
But what a step down from where he is. You know,
being on 30 Rock?
He's the head of
that enormous company.
he's an actor. He's a superstar.
Yeah.
Step down to Congress.
It's a different kind of power, though, that these guys crave, I think. I mean, you could say the same thing about Al Franken. He could have gone on being a successful author all his life if he wanted to be. But there's something about, you know, being a senator, I guess.
He was talking about going into politics. He said, if I do go into politics, these guys will have a field day. I've given them so much crap to use against me.
That's just what I was thinking.
If I run for political office, they'll have a forest of material to kill me with.
Yeah.
Well, there's no question he'll get the thoughtless little pig vote. I'll tell you that. All right. Today's celebrity birthdays. How about Wolfgang Puck turning 60 years old today? Probably the most famous celebrity chef in the world from Spago in Los Angeles. He's got pizza places in every airport in this country and all around good guy, too. Also, actor Kevin Bacon is 51 years old today. Jeffrey Tambor, you remember from Arrested Development, is 65 years old today. Our friend Beck turns 39. And Sophia Bush, ladies and gentlemen, 26 years old today.
Yep.
And that is the Ralph Show.
Let's talk to our listener, Annelle, who was lucky enough to get tickets to go to Staples Center yesterday and watch the memorial service. He just, out of the blue, he signed up online and they...
Out of the black.
And they called him back and they said, you're the guy. And he said, really?
And they said, and you have really good seats.
Really good seats. Annelle, hi.
They didn't do any homework on this whole situation, or they would not have sat me where they sat me.
That's true.
Trust me.
You know, during that first ridiculously 25-minute long break where who came up and read?
Well, Smokey came up. Smokey Robinson came up, read a few greetings, and then it seemed like, I don't know whether they sent him out early or they thought whatever was going to be ready next wasn't, but yeah, there was a huge gap before the thing kicked off again.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the family might have been running late. See, the way it worked is when you got inside Staples Center, they made a general announcement that if you're not inside in about 30 seconds, then you're not going to get in. So it was like, I guess they're trying to keep everybody from having to walk up and down the aisles and whatnot.
Sure.
So everybody just, I mean, even myself, man, it was a sight. You should have seen me, man, about 285 barreling down the hall.
Knocking people over.
Full bore. Little kids, old women, get out the way.
Were they waiting for the casket to get there?
I don't know what they were waiting for.
Because it was literally 20 to 25 minutes, and we were texting Annelle. We were like, get up on stage and say something. Let's move this along.
Yeah, once I started getting restless, man, bad things began to happen.
Now, I got the sense from Annelle's Twitter feed that I was following, and he was doing a good job of bringing it to life yesterday, that you were pretty close to the family. I mean, you talked about how you could see Tito from your seat and everything, right?
Yeah, I had a very, very, very good seat, actually. The way, you know, if you've been to Staples Center, the way the premier seating is, it's kind of right off to the stage, but up. And the way it was sitting in the front was kind of like a half moon shape.
Right.
So from where I'm at, I mean, I'm there. I'm playing kissy face with Jennifer Hudson's wrestler husband, and you know, I'm over there trying to make, you know, trying to make funny faces at the Jackson kids and all that. I'm entertaining myself at this point.
There is no better time to make funny faces at people than at a funeral memorial service.
Well, hey, let me tell you guys something, man. You know those little outbursts that you were hearing on the event there yesterday?
You mean where people would yell, "I love you, Michael"?
Yeah, yeah. Well, my sister and I were texting back and forth during the event. She's in D.C. And she was telling me, she's like, you know, I think I can hear you. So yeah, I dropped a couple of special little, you know, screams.
You did that?
I can hear you. Oh, Kevin, I just sent you a video of a very, 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 very nice one that's right up your alley.
Awesome. Nicely done. Who was it that I tried to get to say you like more than Michael?
Well, here's the deal. You know, they had Queen Latifah present yesterday.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, naturally, I mean, I had to give her an introduction.
Sure,
so I stood up, and right as there, you know, everybody was clapping, was dying down, I cleared my throat and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, Queen Latifah."
Oh, you're so funny for mocking me.
That didn't go over so well.
When it was Brooke Shields up on stage, we were trying to get him to yell, "I like you more than Michael, Brooke."
Yeah, but I tried that. What I actually did was I screamed, "Blue Lagoon sucks!"
Oh.
And security looked at me, and I mean, you know, with those white hot laser beam flashlights.
Sure.
Yeah, hey, yeah.
They weren't there. They weren't there for nonsense. Listen, before we get to your tape now, let me ask you about a couple things. I want to know how they went over in person, because you know it's always a little bit different when you're watching on the TV. I thought Al Sharpton was great as a home viewer. How did he translate in person?
You know me and Al, we have our differences.
Of course. We all do.
I'm a Sharpton fan, man. But right. I will say, man, Al brought his A game yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, Al reminded me why he's been able to fleece the black population out of millions of dollars over the last 40 years. Because the man can speak.
He is a master blackmailer.
Yes, he is a master blackmailer.
The male got to be black, Kevin?
No, but I'm saying that's my feeling on him. And yet, I think preaching, like really fire and brimstone type preaching, is a lost art.
Yeah, and he can
and
do it.
And a few people can do it. And Jesse Jackson's one of them, and he's one of them.
Yep. For everyone who said what a great speaker Barack Obama is, Barack Obama sucks compared to guys like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. He's not even in the same ballpark.
Well,
I mean,
right.
he's an articulate guy, but he doesn't have the preacher impulse that those guys do.
But the preaching is their job.
Obama's supposed to be a president.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. How much fuss was there? Because for most of us, or 99.9% of us, we've never seen those little kids' faces until yesterday. Beautiful, beautiful, seemingly very, you know, well-behaved little kids. How much fuss was there over them at Staples Center yesterday? Were people just going crazy for them?
Were they there? I looked as hard as I could. I saw Randy. I saw Tito, Marlon, Jermaine, Jackie, Reeve, Janet, Randy. There's three little white kids, and then there was a bunch of other
that was
little
it.
Kids.
Wait, it was the three little white kids. That's the ones I'm talking about.
Oh, it was the three little white kids?
Yes, those were his kids. Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
They were wondering where all those black people came from at that event yesterday. They're like, who are these people?
I'm thinking to myself, man, that had to be a traumatic experience. Not only did you bury your father, to bury him in a room full of Negroes.
By the way, nice. By the way, I am pretty sure there were some fake Jackson brothers getting up on stage.
Brothers you've never seen or heard of before?
It was endless. It was just endless.
Well,
now here's Tony Jackson.
He's from a family of like 12 or something. He's got tough siblings.
You know, there were more than the five.
Here's Paul Jackson. Come on up, Paul.
Groucho and Depo and Rico and Poncho and yeah, all of them, man. They were all Chim Chim.
And by the way, Psycho Mike was waiting for Phil Jackson. He wanted to hear from him.
And by the way, what about those bedazzled gardening gloves that they all had to wear yesterday? What about that?
That was good.
Yeah, those were awesome. Although I did notice they were on the wrong hand. Yeah.
Oh, were they? I wouldn't have noticed that.
Wait a minute.
That?
You're telling me that you know that Michael always wore the glove on his left hand?
Yeah, everybody knew that. Don't you guys remember?
Everybody knew that.
I hadn't really thought about it.
Don't you guys remember when he shook Reagan's hand and it was like, he didn't take off the glove to shake Reagan's hand?
Was he a left-handed guy? Because why wouldn't he have shaken it with his right hand otherwise?
No, I think what happened was they had on the right hand, but because of the way that I don't know if you ever, you know, I don't know how many, you know, people y'all buried in last year, but when you're a pallbearer, you typically use your left because you're walking, you know, with people facing you and people away from you and all
right.
that stuff. So yeah.
Oh,
so
I see. I got you.
I think they had to switch it.
I got you.
It was kind of hard to carry a cat coffin cross-handed or something. You know?
I got you.
All right. Well, we don't have time for right now, but I also very much enjoyed the Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial. I don't know if they were a sponsor or not, but when they sent Magic out to do his new spot, I thought that was very impressive.
That was
night,
golden. I sure do love eating Kentucky Fried Chicken with Michael Jackson.
Me and Michael used to get together and eat Kentucky Fried. He said Kentucky Fried Chicken 15 times. We were just awesome.
Me and Michael eat KFC and Pepsi.
It was awesome. And you should, too. Consult the website for a store near you.
Now, we sent, we sent our token listener, Anel, one of the very few black listeners.
Not just the token listener.
I was just going to say, one of the very few black listeners to this program. We sent him down there with a tape recorder, and we showed him how to use it. He didn't know exactly how it worked, so a lot of it is the sound's a little hot.
Oh, no. That was not me. That
sure,
was not,
no.
Listen, some little, because listen, I sent, there's two sets of tape. The second set from yesterday is classic.
Yeah.
The first set, man, what happened was, there was some little kids hanging out, man. They saw a little knob, and you know how Hispanic children are with shiny objects, man.
I know how I am with shiny objects. All right, so here is Anel. You're outside of Staples Center where?
I'm right in front of Staples Center where they saw the giant card is being signed.
Okay.
So I got me people that really, really want to be there, man. And that line was at least 3 hours long, and it was hotter than hell.
And this is just before, right? Just before the...
I got just before, okay. And I've also got tape day of the event.
Okay. So this is Anel with people that are going to the Michael Jackson Memorial.
All right.
Michael Jackson family! From the heart!
Right.
People are here for you today.
Westside! If you had the one thing you could tell Michael before he goes off on his journey, what would you tell him?
Good luck.
Good luck. Hey, good luck explaining that old Jesus juice thing to Jesus. White Michael or black Michael?
Does Michael.
Is Michael?
Does Michael.
It doesn't matter?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if he's black or white?
Hey, he's black and he's white.
Black and he's white. Man, y'all see Michael out here? There we go. That's right.
If anybody could jump out of a coffin today and come back from the dead, it would be Michael Jackson.
That's what I thought. Honestly, I thought, wow, would that be the best publicity stunt ever?
He's a showman.
Yep. All right, we're back once again. We had to clear the sidewalk a little bit to make sure we didn't get arrested. Lord knows a black man don't need no problems with the LAPD.
Well, people got to walk.
Brother, hey, I respect the badge. More importantly, I respect that 9mm on your hip. You got some, like, nice Michael Jackson shaves on. It looks like a beaded shave or something.
You got to do it.
Yeah, I come from Spain just for this. So,
just for this?
Yeah, I wanted to say say goodbye to Michael.
How much do I got to pay you guys to go up to that board and just draw a huge, like, penis on the board, like super bad? I got $100 for you right now.
No, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah.
I'm not talking about a little one either, man.
All right.
Yeah? All right, good deal. You got Michael Jackson on the
way. So tonight.
So, are you going to sing for me?
I don't know.
Come on, come on. Let me just sing. Who's going to sing for me?
Just enjoy yourself.
I tell you what, this proof, the fact that I got a ticket is proof that they did no kind of background check. Interesting, because I look like Michael when he was born, and you look like Michael when he died.
Really? Well, I'm Japanese, that's weird.
Yeah, that's my point.
The music's just so powerful that we just had to make our way down here and sign the wall, number one, spend time. The energy here is crazy. It's so beautiful around here. It's just wonderful to be a part of it.
Well, you look like you're about the same age now. Did you ever have the beaded jacket?
You know, I did, but back when we were younger, it had to be an imitation one because we didn't have a lot of cash.
Ah, you from the hood like me. You didn't have a real leather one.
It was a
leather one. That thing was thin as a motherfucker.
It was crazy.
Tell him that it's human nature. Why does she do me that way? I love.
No, check it out. We harmonize well, too. I'm going to get your phone number. Did you sign the board?
I did.
What did you put on there?
I said, rest in peace, in love and memory of Michael Jackson. Generic stuff, but love Michael.
I drew a huge penis like Superbad. It's awesome. You should see it.
Well, that's what the service needed right there, Anel.
That's right.
It needed I'm telling you.
Somebody to lighten the mood a bit.
Man, I'm telling you, man. It couldn't ask for a better brother to go, man. I had a great time yesterday, and the Michael fans out there, man, they had a good time.
Well, you did a really good job. I would like one last thing. I would like to congratulate Channel 11 for their coverage, because I think the most emotional moment to me was Michael Jackson's daughter, Paris.
Oh, yeah.
Getting up
yeah.
to the microphone, because I don't think anyone thought they were going to speak. And she's, what, 11?
We've never
she's
heard 11. Any of those kids
it,
say
it's the
word.
First time she's ever talked in public. And a lot of people were saying afterwards that it really humanized the fact that there was a father in that
right.
box
yeah.
rather than just a famous person.
He's been.
You've never heard 15,000 heavyset black women start crying at the same time before.
I bet.
It is an interesting sound.
I'll bet, because when you see her, you go, wow, we haven't heard from her. We weren't expecting it. What could a girl 11 say about her dad that passed away? So it was the moment.
Yeah.
Ever since I was born.
I was watching Channel 11, here in Los Angeles, which is Fox, and I'd like to give them credit. I don't know. They probably did it nationally, I imagine, on every Fox channel. But when she got up to speak, someone hit the wrong button. Now, remember, this is the pinnacle of the thing. This is the most emotional minute. And they started rolling a commercial for their news.
Yes.
So they cut away from Paris, Michael Jackson's daughter.
Oh.
And did a small, like, three quarters of a promo for the news, and then realized they made a mistake and cut back.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the old Heidi game.
So this is what I heard from Paris at the microphone.
I just wanted to say...
Speak up, sweetheart, speak up.
Ever since I was born... And I just wanted to say I love him so much.
That was it.
Nice.
That was it.
They thrilled Paris Jackson.
They thrilled Paris Jackson. Somebody got fired yesterday.
Oh, you know it.
Somebody is so unemployed.
And I would just like to say to Fox,
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
First, though, we have dedicated the Kevin and Bean Afro line today, and today only, to Michael Jackson jokes, because we feel like now that the memorial is passed, it is time to move on. Today will be the final day of our extensive Michael Jackson coverage.
Well, let's be honest, too. There's a huge group of people who tried to stay quiet, you know, through all of this.
Be respectful. Mm-hmm.
Out of respect. Right?
That don't really care about Michael Jackson or only know him as a circus freak and just watched part of the thing yesterday and went, wow, this is just ridiculous. You know, just not thrilled with the way things are going.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended. All right. So 323-520-AFRO. We're looking for your Michael Jackson jokes. It's the Kevin and Bean Afro line. What do we have so far?
This may not be for everyone. If you know that you'll be offended by this, go somewhere else.
Okay. You've been warned.
These are inappropriate. We understand he was never convicted of anything, but that's what a joke is. It's inappropriate. So here's the first one.
So when Farrah Fawcett died and went up to heaven, God asked her, okay, you get one free request. What is it? She asked that all the children in the world be safe. And then Michael died.
Okay.
See, because...
I got it.
You got that, yeah. All right?
What were Michael Jackson's last dying words?
Take me to the children's hospital.
Take me to the children's hospital.
Oh, I couldn't understand what he was saying. Okay.
In honor of Michael Jackson's death, McDonald's is coming up with a MJ burger. It's 50-year-old meat and 12-year-old buns.
That's a new one. I haven't heard that one before.
Inappropriate? Yes. Funny? Yes. All right. You ready for another one?
Okay.
Okay. Since Michael Jackson had so much plastic surgery, now that he's dead, instead of burying him, they're going to melt him down and turn him into Legos so that kids have a chance to play with him for a while.
Oh! We were telling that joke a lot yesterday off the air, and it was not anywhere near as PG-rated as that one. So I'm glad she called in. That's one we could actually use.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard, but in honor of Michael Jackson, JCPenney's throwing a sale. Apparently all kids' pants are half off.
Hey, what's the difference between Farrah Fawcett and Michael Jackson? One blue majors, the other blue minors.
Hello.
Ouch.
Yeah, what is Michael Jackson like more than a 7-year-old boy?
Yeah, I can't finish that one. I'm sorry. Go to the next
what?
One.
What? We don't get to hear the punchline of that one?
No.
Take a guess.
No.
Any guess?
I can't.
A 6-year-old boy?
I can't. Skip the next one, too.
Oh, my God.
What?
I'm telling you, some of these are super. Look, we're playing inappropriate jokes.
Yeah. Okay.
Some of these we absolutely cannot.
Hi, how do you know when it's bedtime at Michael Jackson's house? When the big hand touches the little hand.
See, because...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I got it.
Michael Jackson jokes today.
What does Michael Jackson consider a perfect 10? 2 5-year-olds. Hey! Everyone's reporting Michael Jackson went to the UCLA Medical Center and had a heart attack. But I heard that he went to the Children's Hospital and had a stroke.
So pretty good.
What does Michael Jackson and Kelly...
caviar have in common? They both on little white crackers. Hello?
Oh, no.
Oh.
What did the lady say to Michael Jackson at the beach? She said, well, excuse me, you're my son. Hey-o! I had to throw a little Ed McMahon in there, you know? Hey-o! Ed McMahon. Hey, get it. He died too, you know? No one thought of him and had a big funeral for
all
that
right,
guy
all right.
at Staples Center.
All right, just jokes, please. Jokes only.
Get off your soapbox. We don't need to hear that. And finally,
when Phil Fawcett died, you know what? I forgot it. I'm drunk. I'm sorry.
All right.
Well,
way to end strong.
Listen, this is why we usually don't do jokes on this show, because people are so bad at telling them.
Yeah.
So, but it, you know, it takes a special person. It's a very Kevin-like thing to call up and then forget the entire joke.
Well done.
All right, so the Afro line is open today. It's 323-520-AFRO, and we'll play some more in a little bit.
I was listening to an interview with Johnny Depp. Who doesn't do a lot of interviews.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were asking him about watching his own movies. He said he never watches his own movies, ever.
He's never seen one of his own movies.
Says when his work is done, he's done. He's never seen the final cut.
That's weird.
And then the
he's so good, though. He's missing out on some good stuff.
Yeah, you'd think, right? And then the interview asked him, what movie are you looking forward to? And, you know, out of all the genres, he seems like he's a pretty serious guy. So I was thinking drama.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Bruno... Johnny Depp in an interview said he was looking forward to Bruno.
Wow.
That was the movie that he wanted to see, and no other movie interested
That's
him.
That's quite a compliment.
How about that? Well, for folks who aren't lucky enough to know who Bruno is, he is a fashionista. He is the host of the top-rated late-night fashion show in any German-speaking country in the world, apart from Germany. And now he's taken upon himself to do a movie. It is called Bruno. It opens up here in this country Thursday night at midnight. And, of course, you definitely have to go see it. We're very excited to welcome to the show for the first time ever, ladies and gentlemen, Bruno himself joins us on the Kevin and Bean program. Hey, Bruno, good morning.
Kevin und Ben.
Well, listen, we're fans of yours. We've been looking forward to this movie for a long time, but some of our listeners may not be down with Bruno. What can you tell us a little bit about yourself and where you come from, sir?
You know, ich grew up in Austria. I'm a 19-year-old manorexic from Vienna.
Right.
You know, basically, Austria is like Europe's fashion capital. We essentially styled World War II.
Yeah, I'm sorry, did you say you styled World War II?
That's right. I mean, we came up with those great uniforms. SS, heard of them? Let's not get into their politics.
Okay.
You know, I know there's a lot of debate whether they were right or wrong in what they did. Let's not get into that. Boring.
Okay, but just the fashion
but
part
they,
of it.
But they looked sharp. That's your point, Bruno, is that thanks to you and your people, they looked good.
You know, Hitler wore one of the sexiest uniforms, apart from, like, you know, the air stewards on Air Malaysia.
And he doesn't get a lot of credit for that. You're absolutely right. Now, you're a guy in fashion, so clearly you care about how you look, and you always seem to be in such great shape. What do you do to stay a physical specimen such as yourself?
You know, ich go to the gym at least once a day. I mean, mainly for shower sex.
Oh!
Yeah, and it's, you know, I'm sure to make sure I put a lot of work into my body. You know, I throw up at least 3 times a day.
That's how you do it. You just put your finger down your throat?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Okay. You know, sometimes tickle it with a little bit of a feather.
Now, we're straight guys, Bruno. We don't really have a very good sense of fashion. Can you give us any tips on how to dress?
Yeah, sure. You've got to treat your clothes like you would do your pet, you know. Love them for a week, then put them in a zip-up bag, and then throw them in the river.
Okay. I don't think I would treat my pet that way.
Oh, you would, though, if you had my Labradoodle. He was a total bitch.
Okay. All right.
Now, a lot of the celebrities, it seems like, first they go to the fashion shows, and the next thing you know, they think they're fashion designers. Have you ever considered coming out with a Bruno line of clothing?
Yeah, I thought of coming out with a label called Uno by Bruno.
Uno,
you know, I'm really inspired by, like, you know, Tyra Banks. Because despite 15 years at the top and all the pressure and all the fame, she hasn't changed a bit and has remained a total bitch.
That's true. That is true. She may have increased the bitchness a little bit.
Yeah.
But other than that, you're absolutely right. Now, you did a lot of the movie here, right, in America?
That's right. I mean, you guys in California love gay Austrians. I mean, you made one of them governor.
That's true.
Well, that is true.
That is very true.
How does Los Angeles rank among the gayest cities you visited on your travels, Bruno? Are we near the top?
I mean, the gayest city in the world has got to be the capital of France, Paris, which, as we know, is all named after America's biggest slut.
Right.
I mean, those guys are just... What?
I'm not sure. You got to check that. I don't know that the city was named after Paris Hilton. I don't think that's right, Bruno.
No, I think that it was, and they've also like named it like a hotel chain after her now.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe I got my timing all scrambled in my head.
Who are
guys are like really friendly to Austrians? You know, they're really friendly to my grandfather and his battalion 65 years ago.
But who, forget Paris for a second. Who are some of these celebrities that you admire, maybe that you think are sexy, celebrities that you particularly enjoy spending time with?
You know, I mean, I'm really inspired by all the great thinkers like Aristotle, Plato, you know, Shakira. But there's some celebrities that I really don't like. Like, I mean, I love Seal, but I just can't stand his wife, Heidi Klum. She's from Germany. I just can't stand her.
She's one of the most beautiful women in the world.
She copies everything that I do. Like, I wear wings to a fashion show. She wears wings to a fashion show. I moved to Los Angeles. I mean, the only difference between her Seal and the one in the zoo is that her one can balance two balls on his nose.
Oh, wow. Bruno, are you one of these guys who has known since he was a little kid that he was gay, or did you have an experimental phase where, well, I mean, have you ever been with a woman?
Yeah, I mean, ish, actually, in my movies, there's a scene where I get together with a woman, she gets naked. I won't tell you what happens at the end, but... I'd never seen what she had when she took off her Unterhosen. She had actually two Arschenhallers down there. It was quite scary.
I don't know what that is.
I think I'm figuring out what it is, and I don't know that I can look at that.
Yeah.
Speaking of the ass,
if I did go with a woman, I'd have to go with a woman from Idaho, because they're so manly that it's basically gay sex.
Well, I guess when you put it that way.
That's pretty true.
Our Pocatello affiliate certainly appreciated that joke, Bruno. Thank you very much for that. Speaking of the movie, some of the other things, and I've seen some trailers on the TV, and again, we're talking to the great Bruno. The film is called Bruno. It opens up everywhere Thursday night at midnight, and you must see it. Some of the things that I've seen, I think, are going to be in the movie are too much of your ass. Do you have is there a scene where there's some bleaching involved in your butt, Bruno?
Yeah, there's a very private scene. I didn't know that they filmed that, but they obviously did. It was of me getting my Arschenhalle bleached. I mean, I've got to say, if I didn't get my Stinkhalle bleached, it would look like Louis Armstrong during a trumpet solo.
But
plus, the guy doing it actually, you know, found the head of a David Beckham action figure up there.
Is that right? Oh, had you been missing that?
Yeah, it actually went missing about 3 years ago.
Wow. That sounds difficult.
What about the scene, and I can't figure out how you got him there, but there's a scene in the trailer, Bruno, where it looks like you're in a hotel room with Ron Paul, the man who ran for president last year, and at one point he's got his back turned and you take your pants off. What's going on there?
That's right. I mean, Ish was in a hotel room with, you know, that politician, what's his name, RuPaul.
Ron Paul.
RuPaul, right.
Yeah, but is there a difference? You know, basically, he tried to seduce me in a hotel room, you know, and if he had just gritted his teeth and let me stoop him for 5 minutes, maybe he would have become president.
Wow.
I'm not sure that's
how it works. All right, Bruno, well, we're very excited about your movie. I haven't looked forward to a movie this much in a long time. It opens Thursday night at midnight. We totally appreciate you coming on and taking some time with the Kevin and Bean Show today.
Thank you. It's going to be the most important documentary since The Lion King.
Thank you, Bruno.
Hi, Bruno. Ralph Garman joins us in studio for a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, Lindsay Lohan continues her streak.
What streak? Which one?
You know, she's just got her life completely under control.
Yeah.
She making does. All the right choices.
Good for her.
Yes. Lindsay Lohan reportedly turned down the role of the stripper in The Hangover.
What?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Heather Graham's.
She said, the Heather Graham role. She said that the screenplay had no potential.
Are you kidding me? That's one of my top three favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, that would have been a bit of a career resurgence for her had she appeared in a blockbuster of that size.
Wow.
Kidding.
Apparently, Lindsay's agent tried hard to get Todd Phillips, the director, to consider her. He did. But then Lindsay didn't like the script and wouldn't return Todd's phone calls. Well, wow. She's busy. She's got so much going on because she had that,
she has the new, the project. Where...
Oh, that new tanning spray.
Yes.
Look, she's working on a new tanning spray.
I can understand if she said, I don't want to play a stripper or I don't want to show my boob or something like that. But if she thought it wasn't funny, then this woman needs to just get out of show business.
Had no potential.
She's also a woman who's shown her boobs on, what was it, GQ or one of those magazines? She was pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think she has any problem with sexuality or nudity.
So she really just didn't think the movie looked funny. That is some good taste right
she
there.
She said to that script.
I've seen that three times.
You know why she had to turn down? She's busy being a corporate industrial spy.
What does that mean?
Yeah, a woman is suing Lindsay Lohan for stealing her self-tanning spray formula.
Okay.
Apparently, Lindsay has a new self-tanning spray that she's putting on the market. And a woman claims, she's a chemist, claims that Lindsay Lohan stole the formula from her.
Oh, like Lindsay Lohan couldn't come up with the... difficult, you know, chemistry to make that work on her own.
Yeah, she's a chemical scientist in her own right.
Come on now.
Apparently, she is suing her for an undisclosed amount of money for breach of contract, theft of trade secrets, and much, much more. So, Lindsay having even more troubles these days.
Giant size cans.
You know, when I think tan, I think Lindsay Lohan.
You do, don't you?
I can see why she is marketing that spray, because she's like a milk chocolate caramel sort of color.
Kind of a golden brown.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
More bad movie news. Familiar with the sketch on Saturday Night Live called MacGruber? Sort of a spoof on the old MacGyver.
Unwatchable.
The old MacGyver show with Richard Dean Anderson.
No, I don't watch that. The MacGyver show was the one where he can take a toothpick and
build a bomb. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Ran for years. Well, they do a sketch on Saturday Night Live, a spoof of that called MacGruber.
It feels like it runs for years.
He's always trying to disable some bomb, and then something happens, and it blows up at the end. It's like literally a 30-second sketch. That's the only sort of sweet release that it has to offer.
Is it, you know, it's going to end
quick.
Soon?
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Well, the big screen version probably won't be that short. They've just announced the big screen version of MacGruber.
Really?
Yes.
Starring the stars that
starring
did on
Will
Saturday
Forte
Night Live?
And Kristen Wiig.
They're the two from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, Will Forte, by the way, least funny guy on Saturday Night Live.
Is he?
Yeah.
I don't watch that show.
Apparently, Ryan Phillippe and Val Kilmer are also joining the cast.
Really?
Wow, does this stink from a distance?
I think there is definitely a sense of disappointment.
Something good may have come out of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
What?
Love.
No way.
Between
who?
Sanjaya.
And himself?
Has hooked up with Holly Montag, Heidi's sister. Yeah.
Heidi's sister that came to replace her when they quit?
Yes.
Apparently
they are in love and quite serious about each other.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Sweet, sweet love between Sanjaya and Holly.
That's quite the
couple. Well, I'll tell you, that's a family you want to join. Really.
What even happened with that show, by the way? Because once Heidi and Spencer split... No one seemed to pay attention anymore. I don't know, but is it still on? Did something happen? Did anyone die?
No idea.
I don't know if they showed all the rest of them or if they dropped it.
I think they did. I think it ran for 3 weeks.
Didn't
and
we
I
have
think
some
it...
sort of wager how long it was going to run?
Yeah.
On air?
Well, no. I mean, it was... Oh, I see. Whether it was going to be pulled.
Yeah.
Because the ratings were so bad.
Yeah. I think we did.
And I think it ended up running all 3 weeks and a winner was declared.
Pay me.
No.
Pay
me.
You said it was going to be pulled early. You go back and look at your notes, because I think it was going to finish.
I'll try and find them.
Yeah.
I think I was right on them.
I'm sure you were.
Don't try too hard to find them, Kevin.
And lastly, Bar Raffaelli.
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe giant-sized can.
Maybe one of the most attractive women on the earth.
Yeah.
Is telling regular women how to get guys. Here's a little piece of advice, Bar. Don't talk to the average woman about men and attractiveness. Because you just sound like an ass.
Does this
you're
work?
You're dating Leonardo DiCaprio.
If you try this, will this work?
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
I don't think that's how you get her.
No?
She says that confidence is a woman's sexiest trait. To impress a man, you just need to be confident.
Doesn't hurt to look like her, of course.
Sure, yeah. It's easy to be confident when you're a freaking supermodel.
Yeah.
People who are beautiful need to stop telling all of us that it aren't.
Attracting the male gender boils down just to believing in yourself, Barr says.
That's all
it takes. That's why she's a supermodel, because she believes in herself. Not because she won the genetic lottery and is smoking hot and has giant natural cans.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
So just be confident, and you too can be just like Barr Raffaelli, ladies, when it comes to getting men's attention.
Yeah.
Even if you're ugly, just be confident and men will flock to you is what she's suggesting.
That's what she's saying.
By the way,
what's up?
I will say that helps. I mean, it's a lot better than being doubting yourself or whatever. Confidence is always attractive.
No, fat women should doubt themselves, Kevin.
No, but that's not the only, issue.
And you take that advice from an ugly broad who does well with men. Then she can give you advice about being confident. You don't hear Barr Raffaelli saying it's confidence that matters.
Nope.
Looks aren't that important. You don't
God, she's hot. Playboy hot.
Yeah, she needs to be sound down. Down right here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Like that sound?
Nope.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Kevin Bacon. 6 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Of
fame. 51 years old today. Billy Crudup, who was, of course, Dr. Manhattan in The Watchmen, also an Almost Famous, 41 years old today. Beck turns 39. Milo Ventimiglia from Heroes turns 32. Sophia Bush from One Tree Hill is 27. And who else we got? Of course, guitarist Graham Jones of Haircut 100 celebrates his 48th birthday today.
Sure.
All right, Haircut 100. I've had the same haircut for 100 years.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning. My favorite moment from the Michael Jackson Memorial yesterday, I think, might have been.
We had such a good time sitting on the floor eating that bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
How long till Kentucky Fried Chicken, if they haven't already paid Magic Johnson for making that pronouncement from the stage, how long till they turn that into a commercial? That's the question that I have. Of course, the man in the mirror was Michael Jackson yesterday. He was only on stage in a box, but we've got him today on the Hotline to Heaven. We catch up with our friend Michael Jackson on the Kevin and Bean Show to find out how he's doing on the other side. Hey, Mike, how are you, man? Michael?
Hello? Check.
Can you hear us?
I'm still learning how to use the phone here in heaven.
Oh, all right.
Check. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine.
You sound good. Michael, how you doing?
Why was I the man in the mirror yesterday?
One of your very popular songs.
I know, but how was I the man in the mirror?
You weren't. It was just being trying to work in a title.
It was that I was thinking of that congresswoman from Houston who got up, who did a speech where she worked like 30 of your songs into a paragraph.
Yes, well, I'm just glad I could leave behind all my music for my fans who were so supportive and loving yesterday, and I just want to say how much I appreciate that and thank them all.
All right, now that's an important point because we had heard that there are over 100 songs that have not been released.
Wow,
yes,
really?
You will be getting music from me for many, many years to come.
Hey, Michael, just before we get back into the songs, the memorial service you watched, was it good? Did you like it? Did you see it?
I was busy. I didn't catch much of it.
You didn't catch your own memorial?
I heard good things about it.
What were you doing?
I was at the Billy Mays Memorial.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I was a big fan.
All right.
My nose was made of Mighty Putty.
I didn't realize that.
It was very useful in keeping my nose onto my head, so I thought I would do the right thing and pay my respects to Billy.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Michael Jackson in heaven, and the topic is the 100 songs.
Over 100 songs.
Very Tupac-like that you left that have been unpublished. There are still going to be another 100 Michael Jackson songs to come out.
Yes, you will be hearing my music will be entertaining people for years to come, and that, I think, is the greatest legacy that I could possibly leave behind.
Now, you said you did this for your kids. Is that the reason?
Yes, I thought it would be good to have a backlog of new material that could be released posthumously so that my children would always be taken care of and my family and... Many charities would also benefit.
Your what? Your
many charities.
Many charities. Okay.
Yeah. Now, are these good songs that you've been hanging on to since the 80s or crappy songs like everything you've released in the last 15 years?
No, these are great songs. I think some of my best work.
Well, why wouldn't you have put one of those out in the last 15 years or however long it's been since you've been, relevant?
Well, I've had lots of songs that come out that I thought were good.
Okay.
And these are just more of the same.
Okay,
all right. I mean, it'll be up to everyone to decide whether they liked them or not, but I'm very proud of the work.
Are they more like
thriller, or are they more like Bad, or are they all,
they're,
you know,
unlike anything you've ever heard before.
Really?
It's a brand new sound for Michael Jackson.
You're breaking new ground.
I think it'll be very exciting when people finally hear them, yes.
Can you give us a hint? I mean, can you tell us what sort of what they sound like, just so we know?
Sure. You want to hear one of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, if we can, that'd be great. Yeah.
I can play for you. Here you go.
Please.
Sure. When it comes to getting ice cream, it don't matter if it's chocolate or vanilla.
Okay, that's just Black or White. That's the same. That's a song from the early 90s. That's nothing new.
Brand new song. Brand new sound for me that you've never heard
and
before.
Was that the entire song?
Oh, it's just a taste.
Oh, okay. I didn't know how short it was.
I give away something, you know, for free that I could sell.
I can see that.
But that's Black or White, Michael.
No,
we've heard that
brand
song.
New, brand new sound. Brand new song.
Okay.
All right. Well, maybe that was.
Yes.
Yeah. That maybe that's what we need to do.
I have to decide between a hot dog or hamburger.
Well, that's not even a song.
Of course it is. Called Hot Dog or Hamburger.
But that's Black or White.
No.
Again.
Hot Dog or Hamburger.
Michael, you said you had over 100 unreleased songs.
I have over 100 unreleased songs.
Okay. Can we hear some of those?
More.
Wait, who's laughing? Who's laughing there?
Who's in heaven with you?
It's an angel named Omar.
Wow, oh, there's an angel named Omar?
Yeah.
What are the chances?
Very good.
100%, actually. So those two songs were crap, but they were the same. Do you have anything different you can
pick? They were great. And they're very different than I've ever released.
It sounded to us like it was just the music
tune. You aren't musical geniuses,
from
are
Black
you?
And White. All right, how about another
that
one?
Is true.
Who's the dead musical genius here, by the way?
Well, it's only you.
It's certainly not us. Right. Okay. All right, go ahead.
Here's another one. When I take a shower, I have to decide if it's hot or cold.
Again, that's Black or White. I mean, that's the same tune. Same music.
When I drink a soda, I decide if it's regular or diet.
Okay.
Just a couple more of my new songs.
But those are...
The kids aren't going to make any money. There's no legacy left behind here. There's no profit for the children left behind. These songs are not going to sell, Michael. They're not good.
When I buy a computer, is it Mac or...
What? You're not even trying to rhyme anymore.
It's about decisions that we all have to make.
Right, got that. But wasn't that really the first song?
Mm.
Are these all from one song? Maybe that's what we're misunderstanding.
There are 100 different songs that have been released.
Each one of these are different.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, Michael.
I want to hear another one.
Nope.
All right, Michael. Well, thank you. It's been enlightening. Can't wait for those songs to come out.
Wow, that bit died before I did.
I got this email yesterday or the day before from a listener named Jill of the Kevin and Bean Show. But this may be a word of advice, and Kevin, I know you suffer from the same problem I do. If an email is over 10,000 words long, I'm not going to read it.
Yeah.
So I scanned it, and I think it had something to do with a dog. I'm not completely sure, but I think it has a dog involved. So we thought, let's get Jill on the show and find out what the hell she's trying to talk about here, because otherwise I've got to wait for the 25-part miniseries on TV to figure it out.
Hey, Jill,
welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
You write long, long emails.
I'm a lawyer, so I'm sorry. I do tend to get a little wordy.
Here's what I like. She also says she's been listening since the early 90s. She loves us. And then she goes into like a 6-paragraph attack on every one of us.
Really?
Telling us how bad we are. Except for
out of love.
Except for Lisa, who...
Oh, bless you.
She loves and everyone loves.
But see, this is the thing about lawyers is they get paid by the hour, right? So why do something in 10 minutes that you can do in 10 hours, right, Jill?
Exactly.
What client got billed because you wrote us this email?
I think I billed my husband.
Ah. All right. Since we didn't get to the 17th page, which is where we think the actual content is, why don't you explain to us what it is?
Okay. Basically, my friends and I have developed this group we call Mission Animal Rescue, and we are into saving and rescuing difficult cases of animals. The one we're working on most recently is a dog named Jackson. Mm-hmm. Yes, named after Michael. And he was found at my local animal shelter with a broken leg.
Wait. Was that a joke? It was named after Michael?
No.
It really was.
I found him the day Michael Jackson died, and he's an all-black lab.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So
now you have to bleach him white.
Exactly. Yeah, I was going to say, he's not named after Michael if he's an all-black dog.
Well, we started the bleaching process already. All right. So he had a broken leg, and they were going to put him down. So we rescued him, and we've taken him to have surgery, and now we're trying to raise money to pay for the surgery.
Okay.
So that's what we're doing. Our most famous rescue was a dog that lived in a parking lot for about almost 2 years by himself, and we literally had to dart him in order to catch him, and now he's living at my house.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Is that better? Because I don't know you.
It is
better.
Yes. Okay. All right. He sleeps on a couch, so I'd say that's better than the ground.
So you say difficult situations. Is it all health problems, or?
It's both. Animals like that living in a parking lot that have been abandoned, or health problems, difficult to place animals. We've had some animals that people have wanted to put down.
What's the most difficult to place animal?
I'd say ones with social problems, like the Johnny dog that we caught in the parking lot, because nobody wants to deal with him.
Because there's so many problems with a dog like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they haven't been around people for a long time, so
right.
They take a lot of work and need a lot of love and socialization.
I got you.
Jill, what do you do with these dogs once they're rehabilitated or nursed back to health? Do you keep them all at your house, or do you try to give them to friends?
No, we find homes for them. The one we are working on, Jackson, he's got a potential home. We just need to get him better. And we find homes for all of them eventually, and they can stay with one of our team until we can do that.
Okay, so
basically
you've set up the Mission Animal Rescue and is a nonprofit animal rescue group. And you have the reason you emailed us, I think I'm starting to piece it together, is that you're looking for some help from our listeners who might want to make a donation to that cause.
Right, exactly. To help pay for Jackson's surgery or to help us rescue some other animals that have been abandoned lately. A lot are being abandoned because of the economy. So we're trying to do our small part as we can, case by case.
We were just saying a second ago off the air during one of the songs, Lisa was saying there's a dog on the freeway. And we were saying it seems like that happens every day. And
it does.
If that dog has an owner, shame on that owner. But they probably don't.
A lot of dogs are being abandoned. I heard that I think it's the Humane Society or the ASPCA had a fund for people who were out of work and stuff and couldn't care for their animals. And they were actually giving them money to help them feed them.
Mm-hmm.
They had to cut off the number of people they could help because they ran out of money.
Wow.
It's just so desperate right now.
Exactly. And that's where we try to step in. And I did hear about that dog on the freeway, and it breaks my heart. It makes me want to drive right over there and try and catch it.
Every day this happens. And by the way, let me just tell you what not to do. Don't do what Psycho Mike did. He saw a dog on the freeway, stopped in the fast lane.
Yeah.
And jumped out and ran and got it. Now, that's admirable that he wanted to save the dog, but he's lucky. He's not dead. You know, that's not a good plan.
I'd probably do the same thing, though.
Well, all right. Nice doing your last interview, then.
Jill, how do people get in touch with you and your organization, the Mission Animal Rescue?
Go to, don't thriller me here, Kevin.
What are you talking about?
She knows you.
Let Jill get the information out.
Right, see, sorry. I knew it. I know you too well.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jill.
Mission Animal.
All right.
Don't give
Mission Animal Rescue.
.org.
Oh, she got it.
Nice.
Right? She got it.
That was quick.
Well done.
And you can find our address and contact information. It's a new website, so bear with us. It'll be up and running better soon, but our contact info is on there.
My my wife runs a charity. I don't do much. You know, I'm just kind of the face. I'm like the model. but it's a really difficult time to be raising money for
Absolutely.
Charity because everybody's having such a hard time. And so I really admire that you're doing this.
Yeah, and you know what? Anything can help, even $10. You know, don't eat at McDonald's today.
Okay.
Well, let's not get crazy. Come on, let's not go too far. All right, give us that website one more time.
Kevin.
Go ahead.
MissionAnimalRescue.org.
All right, there
perfect.
You go.
Thanks,
Jill.
Guys.
Thank you.
Take
good
care.
Luck.
Good luck.
Thank
okay.
you. Bye now. Right now, we need to focus on a local hero.
Okay, now I've been hearing about this all morning. I have no idea.
Wednesdays is Local Hero Day on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Sure has been for years.
And, you know, we don't really give props as much as we try to tear people down. Today, we're lifting someone up. His name, former producer Lightning, who now works on the website side of things. Apparently saved everyone's life yesterday, and now is here to tell us the story.
I didn't save anyone's life.
Act as if you did.
Okay.
All right, I did.
That's what heroes do.
I'll take credit for it.
What happened?
So we felt it smelled a little burning yesterday. Thought it was popcorn, as you know, people are always burning popcorn in this building.
Sure.
Walked out to a window. Turns out there was a big brush fire behind our building. No one had noticed it.
A huge brush fire, and no one was out there?
In that back west corner over there by the palm trees.
Right. It helps that you're pointing, by the way, because we're on the radio.
Well, because I know you know okay. what I'm talking about, so help me describe right. it. So,
there's a big grassy lot behind the K-Rock building on the other side of the fence.
Where transmitters are, correct.
Right, exactly. Right, okay.
Yeah.
So they're on fire.
They are well, I can see a lot of smoke coming up.
Right.
So Eddie from Promotions and I, he happened to be walking around also trying to figure out what the smell was. So we run out the front door, and as soon as they get to the middle of the parking lot, we notice that they're about waist high or about chest high flames coming from that corner.
Yeah.
And they're about 3-4 feet from the cars, like Mike Crang's car.
Were they waist high on you or chest high on you? Because chest high on you could be about waist high on me, though. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
They're chest high.
Okay.
Let me stop you right there, Lightning, because I'm trying to keep track of the story here. Now, Eddie from Promotions, is he the one who talks out of the side of his mouth?
No.
No, that's not him. Okay, I'm thinking of somebody else. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so we get there, and as soon as I realized that these flames are coming toward the cars, I race back in here. And
it's time for you to spring into action. You know that.
I got to do something, because we're the only people that know there's a fire in our parking lot.
And by race back in here, you mean flew. You flew in here.
Yeah, I had the cape on and everything.
All right.
Yeah, exactly.
You got into the back of the child molester van. You changed into your costume.
I got the big L on the chest.
I am Long Beach Man. I will save you all.
I will save the day.
So tell the receptionist as I run right past her, you know, there's a fire.
Well, good you checked in with the receptionist on your way back into the building.
But she's got the overhead, you know, the intercom system, and then I bolted straight to the sales department because I knew that they parked the furthest out because they get here the latest.
Okay.
So I didn't have a bullhorn, so it's, hey, everybody. You know, so I literally.
You started yelling.
Yeah, I'm like,
hey, everybody, put your hands together for Great White.
That was a different story.
Oh, that was a good story. If you guys have time for the Great White story.
By the way, Bean, I don't know if you heard that, but Lightning did do the intro on stage for Great White.
The remaining members of Great White. Now, here's what I love about Lightning, for folks listening who may not know anything about him, is he is a hyper-excitable guy anyway. It takes very little for Lightning to go into panic mode,
yeah.
Okay?
DEFCON 5 is where he lives.
So, when he's actually in a situation where maybe it is time to, like, get into gear, can you just imagine what was going on? And how high must his voice have been yesterday as he was telling people about the fire?
What did you say? Wasn't that bad. What I noticed instantly how out of shape I was. As soon as I, you know, just raced into the building, I was like, I could barely get it out. You know, I was like,
really? That's like a 10-yard run.
Well, yeah. You know, look at me.
All right.
Yeah, you know, I said, hey, the cars are, you know, could go up in flames. You got to grab your keys and come on outside. So everyone bolted out the doors. We got outside.
A lot of bolting going on, by the way, here. A lot of bolting. You were bolting. They were bolting. Yes. Everyone was bolting.
When there's booking. A fire, you must bolt. Yeah.
Yes.
Lightning, did you make anyone eat dog food or anything like that to get out of the building? Because I know how you are when it comes to contests.
First person yep. out of the parking lot wins the T-shirt.
I did give some stuff away on the way out the door.
All right.
So we got out there, and instantly there was like a nice Porsche Twin Turbo sitting out there, a couple Mercedes, and guys freaking
tell
out.
Tell us
that
more what kind of cars were in the parking lot.
So I'm thinking, I'm going to watch a $100,000 car go up in flames. So the guys, everyone's trying to get the cars out now. We have a small parking
Screw
lot.
Screw human life. Lightning was concerned with the automobiles.
What about that car?
If someone had a Honda Accord back there, would you have cared? Look at the rims of that car. You got to move it now.
It depends if there are rims. All right, go ahead.
We're trying to get the cars out, and there's so many cars in such a small space, and the main street out here is busy. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Way busy.
Nobody could get out, so now all the cars are backing up all the way back to where the flames are. No one can move, and all of our people are freaking out. So what does
Superman do?
I stood in the street and stopped the traffic.
Yeah!
Directed everybody down the street there.
He walked out into the middle of the street, put his hand up, and said, stop!
Wow.
And then waved all of our people out.
I already actually grabbed a car.
And threw it.
Yeah, and threw it. Threw it out of the way and stopped
it. I did.
It.
I picked
I heard a bus ran right into him and just stopped, and he was fine.
Just a big dent in the front of the bus.
Yep. So we got the fire engines in, and they came in, and LAFD was awesome and got their hook and ladder and got up and put everything out. And you know, took them about 25, 30 minutes or so to get everything out.
What do we do on the radio station in the event of an evacuation? I mean, everybody, including the guy on the air, leaves. Does he just put on Jesus of Suburbia, turn off the lights, and leave, or what?
You know, Slugga was in here on the air, and he just threw all the control pots up and just hoped that it all automatically segued. And we went off the air for a little while. Okay. I don't know. Scott was doing some remote control from somewhere in Idaho. I don't know. But it was we didn't go off the air for more than a few seconds. Okay. Now,
in the morning show office, we don't get the pages. We don't hear the page system.
Right.
Correct? And this is the scary part to me. Alex, tell us about a phone call from a certain group of people.
So Lightning said it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm drunk at happy hour. And I get a phone call from my girls at TMZ. And their first words out of their mouth is, "Hi, do you know K-Rock's on fire?" And I was like, "Your big brother, how do you know this?"
TMZ called.
Harvey Levin knows all.
He knows it as it's happening.
That's scary.
I think TMZ they probably called. Got the police radio
how
and everything.
How does he know that?
I think Harvey Levin set the fire.
Yeah,
that's what I'm guessing.
You think so?
Yeah.
That way he could be right on top
sure.
of it? That's weird when you get a call from TMZ about something you're not even aware is going on.
While it's happening, they know more than I do, and I'm asking them what's on fire, who's out there.
And well, at least nobody stopped to tweet about it. At least we know that.
That's good.
Because
ridiculous.
It was this guy right here.
You're an asshole. You were tweeting during an emergency?
Well, there's nothing we could do. We're standing around watching the fire department put out the flames, and they wouldn't let us back in the building, so I figured, what better opportunity to take some photos and tweet about it?
What better opportunity than this?
Will I am, beat me up. Someone call the police. Something like that?
Not really. Oh. But it was.
Can you imagine Lightning's tweets when he's that hyped? It must all be capital letters with exclamation points.
Well, like all the words are spelled wrong because that's funnier.
Yeah, that's true.
It wasn't. It was.
Were you sad when it was over because you weren't needed anymore?
No. No, I was very delighted that no people or vehicles were harmed.
Put that
in the right order. No vehicles right. or people.
Well, that is true. Yeah.
Thank God that 9/11 was safe.
You're a piece of work.
He's a hero.
No.
He's a hero.
Or not.
TMZ scares us. They know too much. They are the most accurate entertainment news site, and they know too much. And that scares us just a little bit. So. Nicely done, Lightning.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if there's something else that needs somebody to step up and be the hero, he's our man.
We're in another disaster.
You sure about that?
Hoping Lightning's around.
Remember when the earthquake hit?
Yeah. Oh,
a couple of months ago. B, do you have that tape of Lightning busting in on Cat? Or was it Cat?
Yeah. I might. I think we're pretty much out of time for now. But yeah, Lightning is always the go-to guy in the event of an actual emergency. That's for sure.
You got to bring down my high, don't you?
Well, no. I'm saying.
You got to do it.
It naturally. It naturally comes down a little bit, but then, you know, you're ready.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, there's
did you feel that? It's an earthquake. It was crazy.
He came running in while Cat was on the air and started shouting on the air. Do you feel that earthquake?
Yeah. I love me some disaster.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, thank God for you. Everyone here would be dead.
Good thing you live in California. We got lots of them.
Thank you. I've got potential. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, a little late, maybe, and it is 7:55.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show Wednesday morning. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to talk to Sarah Simmons, I'm not sure. She has written a book called Having an Affair, a Handbook for the Other Woman. Well, I wonder how that's going to go. I'm looking forward to that interview and looking forward to what you, the fine listeners of the Kevin and Bean Show, think about Sarah. So she'll be coming on in just a few
minutes. Book is two words. Spread them.
That's it?
That's the guy.
Well, Ed, shut up. So four words, really. Spread them, shut up.
Nope.
Right, that's what we're looking
at. Just spread them in her book.
Yeah. Anyway, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, dude?
You know, I like to give heads up to people who are looking for jobs in the entertainment industry.
Sure.
We're all lucky enough to be able to work in this fun business. I like to give the opportunity to those who are trying to break into the business. Mm-hmm. Heads up when there's a job opening.
Would you say we're part of the entertainment industry?
Well, we're tangentially involved. Okay. We're in the periphery.
Barely. Go ahead.
A porn channel in England is seeking a porn show host.
All right.
The job requires good spoken communication skills. Sorry, Kevin.
How dare you.
And a willingness to take calls from the general public live on the air. You will have to talk dirty to the general public, and you will be required to work semi-nude.
And it's in England?
And it's in England.
That's quite a job opportunity.
They're looking to for either men or women.
Can't you do that here if you want?
I don't know if they have hosts on porn channels here in the States.
Oh, I see.
I'm saying, usually they just show the movies on the, at least on the DirecTV that I have. It's just solid blocks of hot, smoking hot sex.
Wow.
They usually have a host there saying, and now coming up next is Sorority Girls 7. Apparently you're going to need excellent oral skills, too. Yeah, and well, you'll be able to talk.
Both? It's ridiculous.
You have to be a cunning linguist if you're a guy. Oh, Zac Efron.
What? Don't What's going on with my sweet Zac?
Start.
Apparently Zac has announced he is cutting off his hair.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's done. I've seen it.
Oh, God. Of course you have.
I don't think...
Oh, it's getting played off.
Being right off the show.
Playing off by the keyboard cat.
Yeah, he looks like a grown-up now. He cut off the Disney hair.
He said he needed to cut his hair to lose his pretty boy image because he wants to land more adult roles.
Oh my gosh, I can't find it so beautiful.
Yeah. Well, that's good. What did we hear he was just taking on? He was going to lead in something.
Footloose, wasn't it? Or no, he turned down
Footloose.
He turned down Footloose.
They want him for Saturday Night Fever. Remember the remake of Saturday
Night
Fever?
That's what it was. Yeah, right. That.
Yeah. Well,
it's top-notch gay.
That'll be good. More relationship news in the showbiz world. Kellan Lutz of Twilight. By the way, if your last name is Lutz and you're an actor, don't you look into your mom's maiden name or your middle name or something?
Or anything made up?
Kellan Lutz sounds like an accountant. Yeah. Hello, I'm Kellan Lutz. Let me see your receipts and I'll make your taxes work for you.
Is he or she a big role in that movie?
Dude is a big star from Twilight.
All right.
Apparently, he is dating Annalyn McCord of Beverly Hills 90210.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Right.
According to the New York Post, they are having a super hot secret affair. They attended a big 4th of July party over the weekend where they shocked guests by going into a private room alone, but beforehand announced they were looking for somewhere to hook up.
They announced
where can we bang? Do you have a room where we can bang?
Is there a sex room? Does anybody
where
know
where can we bang? Hey, you got a place where we can bang? Makes me think of Kevin's Millennium New Year's Eve party. Remember the party at your house for the Millennium for New Year's Eve?
I do.
Yeah, knocked it out in your bathroom. Remember that? Yeah, it was good times.
Have since torn that bathroom out.
You should bronze it. You should bronze
Tore
that bathroom
it to the ground and
make it a shrine.
There.
Ralph in my house.
You should light candles in there. You should have lit a few candles afterwards.
We tried What's up? We tried bleaching it and fire, and neither of those worked, so we had to tear down.
Are you ready for new Beatles music, Kevin?
Oh, how excited are you?
Brand new Beatles music, Kevin.
No!
I know you're not a big fan of the Beatles.
No!
It turns out that back when the Beatles did Beatles Anthology, which was a monster hit, they re-released all the material they had.
No.
Mm-hmm. All the audio material, and they did a big TV special based on it, and it was a big smash hit. At that time, they took a demo recorded by John Lennon, this is the three surviving Beatles, and they added their tracks to it, and it became Free as a Bird.
No.
That's right. Released as a single. And then he followed it up with another single called Now and Then. No, I'm sorry. With another single called, what the hell was it called?
Real Love.
Real
wasn't
Love.
It?
That's it. Yeah. Released them as singles. And now they have a third one.
First of all, I don't know what that is. And second of all, no freaking way.
It's a demo recorded by John Lennon in 1978. Apparently George did some work on it. And now Paul and Ringo have picked it up. And they're going to finish it and release it. Probably in September when the Beatles Rock Band video game comes out.
Oh, God, no, 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 no.
So brand new Beatles music.
Now, this has been rumored for a long time, Ralph, because you're absolutely right. When they made the anthologies, the first two songs that you mentioned were on the first two volumes of anthology. Then the third one came out, and there was no new, quote-unquote, new Beatles song. And everybody thought, well, what happened to the other one they were working on? And they've sat on it all these years, and it's finally coming out.
There you go.
Whoa! Whoa! Oh, man!
Sounds so good to me.
Oh, man.
Nope.
Oh, man.
Sounds terrible. Don't need another one.
So you can get some new Beatles music, Kevin.
Don't the other two were good, Kevin. The other two were good songs.
Almost 40 years after the band broke up, you're going to get some new Beatles music.
Say no.
I'm going to say you'll enjoy it. I think you'll like it.
No.
Because I know you're a big fan.
No.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
No.
Actor Jeffrey Tambor. How good was he in Arrested Development?
Great.
Awesome.
And the Larry Sanders Show.
Only the best.
No.
He is 65 years old today.
No.
Yes, he is. Kevin Bacon. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Footloose, of course, star of that motion picture. And fellow Philadelphian. He is 51 years old today. Andy Fletcher, keyboardist for Depeche Mode. is 48 years old. I got a lot of angry D-Mode fans who are upset I didn't announce his birthday so far today. So I want to make sure to hit that. Billy Crudup from Almost Famous and The Watchmen. He is 41. Singer Beck turns 39.
Yeah, I got Beck right here.
I got my headset on.
Your hair looks so good. It's just...
Quite nice.
Yeah, but yours is like stirring me right now.
I don't know if that's good.
It isn't. Trust us, Beck. It isn't.
No!
Milo Ventimiglia or Ventimiglia, depending on whether you're here or in Rome. He is 32 years old today. And actress Sophia Bush. From One Tree Hill. She is 27 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Normally when we do an interview on this show, we try to take all sides. You know, if someone disagrees, they say they disagree, whatever. We're going to let you, the listener, make those phone calls. We're going to do two breaks. So the first one, we're going to talk to our author, whose name is Sarah Simons, and we're going to talk to her about her book, which is called Having an Affair, A Handbook for the Other Woman.
Well, we certainly know lots of people have affairs.
Hi, Sarah.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, Sarah.
Now, Sarah, is the Gordon Ramsay thing, is that, have you confirmed that?
I confirmed it from day one.
Okay. Gordon Ramsay, that chef that yells at everybody?
Yeah.
She had a 7-year relationship with him when he was married with kids.
With that guy?
That's the one.
Yeah, that seems like a poor choice.
Did he yell at you all the time?
No, he was completely different in person. That's the ironic thing, you know.
I don't like those shoes!
I don't want to damage his reputation anymore. So, yes, he yelled. He really liked
it. Very good.
But he cooked good food after.
So let's make sure I understand here, Sarah. So is the book, Having an Affair, A Handbook for the Other Woman, is lessons that you learned being the other woman that you're trying to share with other ladies who might find themselves in the same situation?
Well, it's not so much how to, it's sort of how not to and don't do it. I've been the other woman many, many times, I'm not proud to say, and mostly with high-profile men and celebrities, can you believe? But my last and my most toxic affair ended so badly, it totally broke my heart, and so I had to write my book to stop me jumping off a roof, but also to help other women not go through the same kind of thing.
Now, if you don't mind my asking this question, one of the guys you were going out with who was married, you called his wife?
Gosh, news travels fast. Yes, I did.
Tell us about that.
Well, basically, this is what happens when you're in an affair. It's so toxic. And, you know, I was being lied to for almost 2.5 years.
And when you say lied to, you mean I'm going to leave my wife, I love
exactly.
you, everything's...
Exactly. Okay. And none of the plans that he was saying he was putting into action actually happened. So his wife was also in the dark. I was being lied to. She was in the dark. And at the end of the day, I couldn't... I just hit that wall of pain when you do crazy things, and I had to tell her what was going on because he always told me he couldn't do it. So I thought, right, I'll do it.
So you called his wife.
Yeah.
That'll fix it.
And was that her first inkling that her husband was having an affair?
Well, amazingly, another emotion was thrown at me, which then, you know, I was even more angry when I heard her say, oh, I thought all this had stopped. So I wasn't the only one, and that's basically the mantra of my book as well. Don't kid yourself and think you're the only other woman. Like we've seen with Sanford, right? Mark Sanford, there were
yes.
others.
Yes, he's that's had right. others, absolutely.
And by the way, I mean, this couldn't be a better timed book. I mean, with the Steve McNair story from Tennessee over the weekend, I mean, let's face it, we're just putting the pieces together, but it looks like that story may be that his girlfriend expected him to leave his wife and 4 kids for her. When she found out he wasn't going to do that, she killed him. I mean, that's what it's starting to look like at this point. So when you say it's toxic, these environments, these relationships, you know what you're talking about. But why did you have so many of these sorts of relationships in a row? What's going on in your life that you are so attracted to marry? Or otherwise unavailable men?
That's a really good question, and I'm still dealing with it. But I was just, I guess, in a bad behavioral pattern. I was living the jet-set lifestyle in London, L.A., and the Middle East, and I was attracted to these guys. These guys were the only ones that were asking me out. The normal guy next door didn't ask me out, and if he did, I probably didn't even hear him. I was so carried away in that, you know, world. It's just counterfeit happiness, though. I thought I was living the life I wanted to, but in hindsight, nothing to show for it.
But it's just so interesting that you said you had, you know, several of these relationships in a row. I mean, after you get your heart broken the first one, and then the second guy you're going with who's married, who doesn't leave his wife for you, and then that ends, and then the third one comes along and it's still, you're still the other woman. I mean, at some point it seems like you wake up and go, clearly that's the wrong path.
I wish there were only three.
Oh, Sarah.
I know, I know. Shoot me.
How many have you had?
Oh, gosh. too many to
with men. Nope. Guess. I want a ballpark.
No, I never give this figure out.
Women don't.
Is it more than 20?
I'm taking the fifth on this.
Is it more than 10?
This is morning show drive time. I can't do this to people.
All right.
You know, I think that there is an excitement that comes with this kind of roller coaster relationship, and it can be addicting. And maybe there's also a little bit of power that you think you're going to be able to get this guy away from his family. There's a lot of stuff about, and you think you have the best of both worlds
for
a time.
Is that what happened between you and me and your ex-husband?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But guys, also, as women, we think we can change guys and fix them. So when this needy married man comes along, and if you're a single young woman, you know, with the world at your feet, and you hear all these things from this accomplished, charismatic, alpha male type of guy, you don't think he's lying. Why would he lie about sleeping in the basement or not being happy at home? You believe it. And then you think perhaps there's a future, and you realize, or you don't in my case, that there isn't.
All right, let me ask you this. And if you're just joining us, Sarah Simons is our guest. She has a book out called Having an Affair, A Handbook for the Other Woman, and her website is dynamiteagency.com, which we're also going to get to, by the way. We're inviting your calls for Sarah at 1-800-520-1067 if you have a question or comments. Let me ask you this, Sarah. When you're in these relationships and you're hoping that the married man will leave his wife for you, do you think there's a part of you that hopes that that doesn't happen because you like it just the way it is?
Another great question, and I say this to all the women who write to me. You know, you really don't know the guy you're having an affair with because you only get 20% of his time. 80% is spent with his wife and family. So you might think you want him, but in the big picture, you may not even want him if you did get him. I think part of it is the chase from both sides. And I don't know many times, A, when the husband actually leaves his wife, but B, when it actually works out with his other woman for those reasons.
If you've learned all of these lessons from the 30-plus married men, 50-plus married men that you've had an affair with, why isn't your book Don't Have an Affair? Why is your book Having an Affair a handbook for the other woman?
Because when I was writing it, it was a handbook on how to stay sane. You know, I say don't do it, but if you absolutely are going to and it's a free country, at least do it so you're not going to go crazy. Realize he's using you, so use him. It's not a handbook how to. It's just kind of how not to go crazy and how to try and get out of it more so.
I'm sure you've talked to thousands of women through the website and through the publicity for this book. Are there some women who are very happy being the other woman and they wouldn't change a thing if they could?
There are, and they're the ones that haven't fallen in love, and that's my number one rule, never fall in love with a married man. But conversely, there's also many wives that know their husbands are cheating on them, and they're also happy with it because they don't want their lifestyle ruffled. They perhaps don't find their husband physically attractive anymore. They've had children. They don't want sex. So it can work both ways.
But isn't, even in both of those situations where both seem to be okay with the situation.
Well, you know, okay as long as you don't shove it in their face.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
It looks like, I mean, if you call the wife, you're setting yourself up as a time bomb to actively destroy that entire family. That's a little different.
That's a very male point of view because he is actually the one that's destroying his family without any help from me. I'm not forcing him to date me or any woman.
Right, but you called his wife.
I did, and in fact, I think I did her a favor. Because
well, maybe.
At least she knew the truth. That's what the Dynamite Agency is all about, living in the truth.
All right, so this is going to crack you up, but she has. Tell us about your agency, Sarah.
Okay, so basically Dynamite is an agency run by women for women, and it exposes cheating men, usually married men, but it could be men who are just in relationships, you know, common law wives.
And how do you do that?
Well, we literally blow them up by exposing the lies. A wife or a partner would come to us and say, hey, I think my man is cheating. Could you follow him? Or could you set up a decoy to see if he would be attracted, if he would cheat on me? Once we've blown up the lies...
So hold on. So you send out a hot chick to hit on him?
Well, we will set a situation up where he would be able to flirt if that's his inclination. And as I said, you can't force a man to cheat. He has to want to.
So you would be the outstanding decoy because clearly you've got it going on. I mean, I imagine
that's my question is you've now set up an agency so that doubting partners can find you, a woman who is having a relationship with a married guy.
But that's the old me. I'm reformed now. We haven't got to this. I'm going straight, and I'm an infidelity analyst. All this past has happened to me for a reason, and I'm now able to help other women. But my partner in LA, my business partner, who's actually listening this morning, Lexi Barrett, we do this together. But because we are getting well-known, obviously we have decoys and other women who can do the job that we orchestrate who aren't so well-known.
Hey, Sarah,
I got you.
I have a question, because I have a friend who was a private detective for a while, and he said, when a woman comes to me and says, I want you to follow my husband, I say game over. If you're at that point, he's cheating.
It's true.
true.
If or there's not enough people, trust to continue.
Yeah, how many people come to you and are wrong?
Not many, sadly, because you just said if they do, if they are suspicious, and as women, we have that instinct, you usually have to follow your suspicions. But at least they want to, what we say at Dynamite, we either put your mind at rest or confirm your worst suspicions. And the truth can change everything. But some women just want this so they can get a bigger divorce check.
But if
everyone has their reasons.
But if the guy is cheating and they come to you, you're going to make sure that guy cheats because you're going to send a decoy.
We're not going to make sure of anything.
You're going to make it happen.
No.
All right. I said I wasn't going to give my opinion. But
what Sarah's saying, though, is the guy can still say no, even if the woman comes on and comes on strong. He still has the capability to say no on paper, theoretically.
Right,
he can say no.
Isn't that,
say no, though. That's the topic.
Isn't that the same thing with entrapment with the police? I mean, isn't it kind of the same
deal? That's a tough one because depending on how hot she is and how hard she comes on.
But, you know, they don't have to be that hot. Men can be, you know, we all know the story. And say with Sanford, we're dying to see the mistress, aren't we, what she looks like.
Of course,
Because his wife is so attractive. It's not always about the looks.
All right. I am going to nail Sarah. That's one thing I've decided.
I like that.
And I'm going to make it hurt. And I'm married, so you're really going to like it.
That's
all right.
Type.
Sarah Simons is the guest. We're going to take your phone calls right now, 1-800-520-1067. If you want to check it out online, the website is dynamiteagency.com. We'll be back with your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday morning. Look, I know he's not even officially buried yet, but we are taking your Michael Jackson jokes on the Kevin and Bean Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. The more inappropriate, the better. We're ready to put this behind us, and we'll do another round of those coming up for you in about 15 minutes.
And if you're going to be offended by this, and you know that just from the cell, go ahead and do something else for a few minutes. Because there are a lot of people who weren't as broken up as the people we saw on TV. So
and they'll love it.
This is for them.
Let's get back to our guest. Sarah Simons is on the line. She is a lying, cheating, home-wrecking whore, and her book is called "Having an Affair." And I mean that with all love and respect. The book is called "Having an." That's right, she was. And now she has an agency called the Dynamite Agency at thedynamiteagency.com, where she catches other lying, cheating, home-wrecking whores. That's where she's turned her life around, right there.
What's that?
Drop the W word. Put it in the box with the Michael Jackson jokes, please.
All right. Okay, you don't like the W word. All right. Having an Affair, A Handbook for the Other Woman is the book. We talked to Sarah a few minutes ago. We invited your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. We don't have a lot of time, but we do have some great calls. And let's start with Brenda. She is on line 3 for our guest, Sarah Simons. Hi, Brenda. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show. Go ahead.
Hello. Good morning. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Brenda.
Hi. Hey, Brenda.
Okay. I was the other girl for a little while with the guy, and he actually broke things off with his girlfriend of, like, 3 years that was living with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I know that once somebody does something like that, especially having 3 years, especially when I only knew him for a couple months, when will I know if I could trust him? Because I'm... Yeah.
How do you know he won't do that to you with someone else?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Sarah? Yeah.
Okay, Brenda, well, you know the line, if he can do it with you, he can do it to you. It's usually true. There's a few cases where perhaps the guy's just been with the wrong girl or married the wrong person. They get out of it and they make a new life and it can work. Look at Sting and Trudy, for example, a great second marriage. But usually, if he's done it before, he will do it again. I'm sorry, Brenda.
Although, having said that, Sarah, you're a person who has said that you cheated a lot and then you grew up and grew out of it and now you won't do it anymore. So people can change, right?
Yes, but remember, I was never married. I never broke any vows. I've changed my behavior and I've reformed and, you know, trying to be a better person, but I was never actually married, so it's a bit different.
Gotcha. All right, thank you for the call. Let's try
Diana. Not funny.
That's the wrong button, too. Let's try Diana. She is on line 8 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Diana, you're on with Sarah. Go ahead.
Hi, Diana.
Hi. Hello. What's your question?
Well, I guess my first question for Sarah is, does she go to swingers clubs to meet these people? Because that might be your first clue that they're married.
Did you say swingers clubs?
Yeah, she was wondering how you end up with so many married guys. Where do you meet them?
Okay, and there was another part to the question. I interrupted. Sorry.
And I guess also, I just don't understand why someone would want to start a relationship based on a lie. If you already know that that person is lying to someone else, why would you possibly want to be with someone that, you know, was probably lying to you, too?
Okay, two great questions. First of all, it's so easy to meet these guys who come on to you and say they're unhappily married. I've never been to a swingers club in my life, which, by the way, I think it's for more married couples to go and swing with other couples. But anyway, I was approached by these guys. I was working in an environment where I was mixing with playboys and players, and I guess I became one of them. As I said, these were the guys that were asking me out. You're right about not accepting a secondhand relationship, which is what I'm all about now. You know, I don't know why I did it so long. I was taken away with the excitement of it all. And I was flattered. I've got to be honest. I was flattered when these big names and these charismatic presidents of companies, etc., wanted to be with little old me. So there was a certain flattery in it. But I've actually set up Mistresses Anonymous, which is an addiction group, which I launched in L.A. to help women who are dating married men and want to get out of it, because it is a form of an addictive bad behavior.
All right. Let's see.
That's a long answer, wasn't it?
It was okay. Yeah, it was fine. Yeah. Let's go to Walker, who has a question. Hi, Walker.
Good morning.
Hi, what's your question, Walker?
I'm Lisa May.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Again, what's your question, Walker?
Who cares? Just keep talking.
Walker, please talk.
Okay, Sarah, why do you not see it as hypocritical that if we sent a man after a woman this way, he'd be viewed as a stalker or a predator? But when we send a woman stalking and preying on a man and she's successful, we blame the victim. And the other part of that, earlier you pled the fifth. You're British. You're not allowed.
They can't plead the fifth in Britain.
No, that's
a good point.
Well, first of all, we only do what's requested of us. So we're not going out and just doing it to anybody randomly. We're working for women who come to us and say, hey, I'm in bits because I think my man is doing something behind my back. So we operate on the women's need to know the truth. Now, are there other agencies that do it for guys? I'm sure there are, but quite frankly, we're only interested in busting the guys right now and looking after our women.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the call. Sarah, I have an email question who wants to know, do you have any advice for the other woman who may be listening who doesn't want to become emotionally invested, would like to keep the relationship going, but doesn't want to fall in love and get hurt?
Okay, well, my first piece of advice would be to get out, value yourself, and be in a normal relationship. And even if it means being alone for a while, don't just settle for the crumbs of somebody's time, which is what you do with a married man. Very hard not to fall in love unless you're just using him. That means you've got another agenda, and that's a whole other topic. But I would say, come to my Mistresses Anonymous group. I hold the chat rooms every night at 6 o'clock Eastern Time. And if you go to my website, which is havinganaffairthebook.com, you can join the group that way.
Yeah, so, and then you can find a lot of women who are addicted to having sex with dudes, and you go, hey, Hey, what's your name?
70,000 women have come to my website so far. Can you believe it's like an epidemic?
Wow.
Thank God
I'm
here to help.
I am going to get into that Mistress Anonymous group. That's all there is to it. I've got to figure out a way to crash the meetings.
Let's take a call from Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hey, I just wanted to say what a great country we have with all the opportunities where a home-wrecking whore can go pro, you know?
Dear God.
Wow.
And so many men to do it with, Mike.
Exactly. Yeah.
Are you one of them?
They're right out there.
It definitely takes two to tango. There's no woman who cheats without a guy, that's for sure.
Exactly.
Well, you know what I like is how she plays a victim, but she knows she's getting into a relationship.
I'm not playing a victim. Quite the opposite. I'm not trying to.
Well, you're not trying to, but it sounds like you're acting like you're getting into relationships that just aren't working out for you, but they were kind of doomed to begin with.
Mostly, yes, but when a guy who doesn't tell you he's married in the beginning, which is what happened to me and what led me to write my book, I didn't know for 2 months that he was married, so that's complete deceit. That's withholding the truth. By then, you've invested yourself, as women do, in this guy. So I was lied to. I didn't have the knowledge to make my own decision. I didn't have all the information.
Until the next time around, when the guy was married, you knew it from the get-go, right?
That was just a fling.
And then the next guy.
Exactly.
And then the guy whose wife you called.
That was the same one. That's the same one. The wife I didn't know existed.
All right.
I haven't seen the book, but it is a fascinating, relatable topic. And the book is called Having an Affair, A Handbook for the Other Woman. And the agency is called the Dynamite Agency. And you do operate in Los Angeles for women only at this point. Is that right, Sarah?
That's right. So far, just for women, yes.
Okay, fantastic. Glad you came on. We appreciate you talking to us and taking the calls from the Kevin and Bean listeners. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys. It was fun. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank
you. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show in the remaining moments of our Michael Jackson coverage. Boy, it's going to be nice to not have all 60 minutes of every newscast Michael Jackson after today, isn't
well,
it?
Well, here's the thing.
You're still going to get 20 minutes of it.
Here's
they
the
are
thing.
Not done.
You really, there are all kinds of people in this world. There are people who are demolished because Michael Jackson passed away.
Mm-hmm.
For those people, I feel bad. There are also probably a bigger group of people who really didn't care all that much. And the coverage, when you don't care all that much, drives you out of your mind.
Yeah, it was nonstop.
So
it was over the top, even if you like Michael Jackson. Although there was one moment that I didn't get a chance to play earlier today that I love so much, because Larry King was at the memorial service, and he was sitting a couple of rows behind the family. And right after the service was done, Anderson Cooper was talking to him about some of his favorite moments. And this is what I love about old man King every time you put him on a live mic to explain stuff.
And when Usher walked down and touched that casket, what can you say?
Yeah.
There's some CNN coverage for you right there.
What can you say?
That brings it to life.
Kind of your job.
Here's my favorite part of the coverage, which was Fox. Somebody hit a commercial in the middle of only the most important part of the memorial service, which is the little girl, Paris.
Yes.
Michael Jackson's daughter.
Yeah.
Here's how that sounded.
I just wanted to say,
speak up, sweetheart, speak up.
Ever since I was born. And I just wanted to say I love him.
So that's what I heard.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That's bad timing.
I didn't really hear what she said as much as watch a news commercial.
Nice. So.
They couldn't have waited 10 seconds to promo the news.
Well, it was an accident. I mean, it was literally just such an abrupt cut from what she was saying to this commercial. It was clearly an accident. Yeah. So somebody freaked.
Wow.
I mean, and
that's
they
awesome.
Must have been screaming all over the place. All right. So if you're going to be offended by Michael Jackson jokes, go someplace else for 5 minutes.
Absolutely.
This is for people who aren't going to be offended by it. Here we go. And by the way, this first one is a great read. This is how to tell a joke.
What does Michael Jackson like about 28-year-olds? There are 20 of them.
Is he text a landline that, or is that a real person?
I don't know. That's a good question. Here's another one.
Did you guys hear why Michael Jackson had a heart attack? It's because he found out Boyz II Men was a band, not a delivery service.
That's what I hadn't heard yet.
That's good.
Having said that, we know nothing was proven. Take it easy, people. You don't need to get all angry. How about this?
In honor of Michael Jackson's life and death, U.S. Postal Service is putting out a stamp so all little boys can lick the behind.
Oh, there
of
you
the
go.
Stamp. And of the stamp.
Right.
This, is, I think, wins the Tasteless Award.
Okay.
What was Michael Jackson's last hit? The floor.
Yeah!
Michael?
Speaking of tasteless.
What's the difference between Michael Jackson and acne? Acne waits for your 13 to... Your face.
Oh!
Yeah. All right.
Look at your face, right?
All right. Yes, exactly.
MJ will be recycled into shopping bags. This way he will remain plastic, white, and dangerous for children to play with.
I like that she adds her own wah, wah, wah.
Yep.
Sure.
That's strong. This apparently happened in heaven. God, a little confused.
Michael Jackson gets up to heaven, and they say, we can't let you into heaven. It says right here that on stage,
into a large bath.
It says, that wasn't me. That was Ozzy Osbourne, but I had had a small cockatoo.
Cockatoo, a bird.
Yeah,
right. A bird. What did you think it meant?
Not a bird.
Speaking of tasteless, how about this one?
What are Michael Jackson, Ed McMahon, Farrah Fawcett expecting for Christmas?
What are they expecting for Christmas?
Okay.
Any guesses?
I know this one.
Don't say it,
Oh,
then.
You do? No.
No guesses?
No.
Patrick Swayze.
Oh!
Oh, that hurts. That hurts.
That is terrible.
That's really, really
that
bad.
Is terrible.
That's the best one yet.
It's the best one yet.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. Long time it. Much time, good fun.
Put my microphone on.
Yeah.
Hey there, Ralph.
Hi, what's up? It is 8:55 here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You guys not hear me at all?
No, we couldn't until
Mike
just
now. You can.
Mike didn't have you turned on either.
No, I was talking the whole time, right after Lisa finished traffic.
None of the microphones were turned on, and Kevin was in the other room playing pachinko. Why can't you be here when the show's on?
It was
Kevin?
Galaga, and I was on level 8, and it's hard to leave when you've put that much work into it.
That is. It's hard.
So
Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, this sounds like a horrible idea for a movie. MacGruber. You know those little sketches they do on Saturday Night Live? It's a takeoff on MacGyver.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Starring Will Forte. who is the least funny man on Saturday Night Live. Now they're going to give him his own big-budget motion picture based on MacGruber. And see, he'll get to say things like, "We only have 5 seconds to undo this bomb. But wait a minute, where's my wallet?" And things like that, and then it explodes.
That's what they say?
Yeah. It's really funny.
What does that mean?
More bad movie news. Tobey Maguire has signed on to star in the upcoming movie The Details, about a struggling married couple who gets pushed over the edge in their personal lives by a family of raccoons who live in their backyard.
Yay!
Finally,
that is an
they're
idea
making that a movie.
For a movie.
Yeah, for a whole movie.
About raccoons that make you nuts.
Yeah.
Kevin is so pissed. He had a script about a possum that wouldn't leave.
Possum
that wouldn't leave his driveway and made his family crazy. He was going to make a hilarious comedy film out of that, but now they beat him to it with the raccoon story.
Oh, they stole it. I'm going to sue him.
But at least Elizabeth Banks co-stars as his wife.
Oh, yeah.
That's
all
right. Look at.
All right.
You know where those two first appeared together, ever?
No.
She was in the first Spider-Man movie. She played Jameson's secretary, Betty Brant, in that film.
Oh, who knew?
Yeah. Speaking of movies, I've got tickets to give away to the very special advanced K-Rock screening of a little motion picture called Bruno.
Oh. Stop!
We talked to Bruno earlier this morning.
We did. He was very, very funny.
He is the best.
Boy, does this look great. It looks like he gets even bolder and pushes the envelope even more than he did in Borat.
Which I didn't think was possible.
Bruno is a gay fashion designer.
Okay, Kevin.
Have you seen the scene, Ralph, where he interviews a real terrorist, Ralph? Have you seen any of that?
Yes.
That takes stones to go to
your
a guy
leader,
who...
Osama bin Laden looks like a dirty Santa Claus.
Yeah, it just...
That's
just
the thing about him. He has stones.
He is brave.
Yep.
And we're doing an advanced K-Rock screening. I want to give you a chance to win tickets. I got 5 pairs of tickets. If you know the answer to my trivia question, call now 1-800-520-1067. Here's the question. The character of Bruno first appeared where? Naturally, it was in the UK because Sacha Baron Cohen is a Brit, but you may be surprised where it first showed up.
Oh, really?
It's not as easy as you may think.
Hmm. House of Commons?
Call now 1-800-520-1067. If you know the answer, I got 5 pairs of tickets to give away. For that very special K-Rock Advance screening, Jennifer Garner and Gwyneth Paltrow are squaring off. Sweet. I want Jennifer Garner just to kick her scrawny ass.
Like, that's
just
even a fight.
Kick Gwyneth Paltrow's ass. Apparently, the two do not get along. First of all, Gwyneth used to date Jennifer's husband, Ben Affleck, you know.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Gwyneth Paltrow is Ben Affleck's ex-girlfriend.
That's right.
But Moses, Gwyneth's son, and Violet Affleck, Jennifer's daughter, both attend the same school. But Gwyneth keeps pulling Moses in and out of class. He only goes part-time, and Jennifer thinks that's disruptive to the entire class, and she's upset with this behavior.
So what's happening?
Only one answer. UFC, mixed martial arts.
Gotta be. Get them on the bill for 100.
Oh, yeah. Jennifer 100. Garner versus Saturday. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yep.
Oh, I just want to see her just figure four leg lock. You know what I'm saying? Just arm bars and just all... You know what I'm saying?
Are those the sound effects of fighting?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, so apparently a little tension between Jennifer and Gwyneth.
I think it would work out better if it was Gwyneth Paltrow, Brock Lesnar.
You just eat her?
Oh.
Hey, get your mind out of the gutter.
What's wrong with you?
Gwyneth Paltrow did that story. Britney Spears, rumor has it, according to Us Weekly magazine, she's losing it again.
Oh, really?
Britney is feeling so good on the road, that she stopped taking her bipolar disorder medication.
Uh-oh.
And now, cuckoo, cuckoo, things are going off the rails.
Yes.
Wow. Sweet.
Well, she seems to be one of those women who a lot of her demeanor depends on who she's dating. I don't know much about this guy that she's hooked up with now, but he could be taking her down a bad path, just like that last guy did.
Huh?
Yeah, but...
You know, somebody else who comes in there that pulls her away from the good, steady guidance of her father and conservatorship seems to be where she gets into trouble.
But it's still up to you to take your meds, though, right?
Absolutely.
No matter who you're dating or what you're doing, whatever, it's just take a pill every day. Just take it. Just do it.
Of course.
You're not
eight. At a minimum, yes.
You're not someone who has to crush. No one has to crush it up and put it in your applesauce.
I think you're wrong.
Just take the pill. Just take your meds. That's all we ask of you, Brittany. We'll take care of everything else. We'll run your life. We'll take care of your finances. We'll get you from point A to point B. You just have to take your freaking medication.
She's fine, man. Why do you doubt her?
You're saying leave Britney alone? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying leave Britney alone.
My trivia question may have been too difficult.
Well, we got a winner. We do have, Jose on the line. We can try, try him.
Okay. Jose?
Yes.
Where did the character of Bruno first appear on television?
That was at the Paramount Comedy Channel.
That's right. The Comedy Central channel in England.
Is that right?
Was known as the Paramount Comedy Channel, and they used to do small little sketches in between television shows, and that's where Bruno first appeared.
I thought it would have been his LEG show.
That's where he reappeared after becoming a hit on the Paramount Comedy Channel in the UK. Sacha Baron Cohen got his own TV show, Dolly G Show, and then started doing the character there as well. Well done, Jose. That was a tough one, but you win. You're going to the special K-Rock advanced screening of Bruno this Thursday.
All right.
Hold on. We'll give you all the details.
Nicely done.
Thanks to Hector and Monica and Desir, who are also winners.
Desir.
Well, it says Desir.
It does say Desir.
And Lenora, who are also the winners today.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Handle that. Cover that, Rodney.
Done?
Done.
All right.
Jeffrey Tambor from Arrested Development and Larry Sanders Show is 65 years old.
Huh?
Kevin Bacon, he is 51 years old. I bet he's happy about that whole Bernie Madoff thing.
Yeah.
Oh,
he was one of,
money,
he was one of the investors who got screwed by Bernie Madoff.
Right.
Who, if you didn't follow in the news, just got a 150-year sentence for his Ponzi scheme.
Which means a year and a half of good behavior.
You think?
That's the way it goes.
He's like 78 or something, though. It might be a life sentence even at a year and a half.
Yeah, true.
Andy Fletcher, keyboardist for Depeche Mode, is 48 years old. Billy Crudup from Almost Famous and The Watchmen. He is.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Already handled that. Covered that already.
Right.
Singer Beck is 39. Milo Ventimiglia turns 32 years old today. And actress Sophia Bush.
Oh, giggity, giggity, giggity.
Push, push in the bush, I always say.
You have said that many times.
Remember when I used to be with Salt and Peppa?
Absolutely.
When I was Spinderella, when I used to tour with them as Spinderella.
You were Spinderella?
I was Spinderella. A lot of people don't
realize
know that.
That.
I was Spinderella. Yeah.
Wow.
She is 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde.
I don't think it's. I've heard your voice crack like that in quite some time, Kevin. That was a good one.
I'm trying to sound manly, but it's not working.
Yeah. Nirvana on the way. Also, we got the new song from Phoenix, and we'll talk to Bruno in just a few minutes. You know, his movie's coming out this week. And speaking of movies, I Love You, Beth Cooper is another one that looks pretty good that I've seen the commercials for. And that stars Hayden Panettiere.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, she's the cheerleader from Heroes. And Alex says this phone number that we have will get us to Hayden. If we call this number, we can get Hayden on the line.
Yeah, it's called an
secret number?
It's called an interview. We do.
Oh.
We work at a radio station, and we do interviews.
That's better.
Hello?
Hayden?
Hello.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean from K-Rock. How are you?
How are you? I'm good.
We are very well. We're calling about your new movie.
Yes. I Love You, Beth Cooper.
I Love You, Beth Cooper. And you're Beth Cooper?
I'm Beth Cooper.
And a dude loves you?
And a dude loves me. Thinks he loves me, but doesn't
I feel
really.
Like I've already seen it now. Giving everything away, Kevin.
He's in love with what he thinks I am, which is a popular girl and all of that stuff. And then he gets to know her and realizes that she's a girl, a normal girl who's full of insecurities and winds up loving her for who she genuinely is.
Hayden, it's not that long ago you were in high school. You had a lot of guys performing all of these kind of things for you, going after you?
These antics?
No, actually.
Never did?
Never. Not at all.
Liar.
They didn't.
Really? Were you not popular in high school?
You know what? I feel like most of the stories when it comes to high school that are portrayed in movies and TV remind me much more of middle school. Middle school was where there was very much the popular girls, the popular kids, and the unpopular kids.
Right.
The cliques. And in middle school, I was tortured.
Tortured?
Tortured. Didn't fit in.
It's funny. We talked to Mike Tyson. That was the exact same story. Mike Tyson was tortured when he was a kid. Hayden Panettiere tortured when she was a kid.
Obviously, it's a good sign.
They were mean, mean, mean.
That's why Hayden became a fighter. Well, maybe I'm getting them confused.
But I had a great time through high school.
You did?
That's when I met my real close friends, friends that are still my best friends today, and I just had a blast. And I went to prom, and I got in trouble, and I did all sorts of stuff.
You haven't cut off your friends because now you're a big star and you can trade up?
Do people expect people to do that?
Sort of.
Yeah. They do sort with of? Husbands.
I mean, it's bad, but...
No, I mean, you lose touch with certain people, and there's generally just a reason why you lose touch. And maybe you rekindle a relationship later, but I've kept my best friends.
I got
they,
you.
Being in the position like mine or in anyone else is in this industry, it's almost a, more those people that are close to you that you trust that have been there from the beginning are the people that are the most valuable to you.
Are you on Facebook?
No.
Good, because what happens on Facebook is everybody that you've ever known comes back and goes, hey, remember me? I'm from grade school. And...
Right, right. I think I would actually remember everyone, though.
You would, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I Love You, Beth Cooper is the name of the movie. It looks very funny. It opens Friday, this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And Heroes comes back when?
Heroes comes back, I'm pretty sure, in around September. And we are just starting to film the fourth season. And, yeah, back to work.
Back to work.
Well,
no rest for the wicked.
Never a dull moment. All right. Well, Hayden, thanks for spending some time with us. We know you got to go.
Thanks for having me.
But thanks for being on the show.
Take care.
Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday afternoon. What you talking about, Ralph Garman?
Nine Inch Nails is saying goodbye to the U.S. of A. Trent Reznor did announce on NIN.com that he planned to call it quits after the Nails joint tour with Jane's Addiction wrapped up on June 12th. But now he says he really needs a few more farewell concerts to say goodbye to his peeps.
Ah.
So Nails will play club shows in New York City, Chicago, and a little town called Los Angeles.
Really?
Starting August the 22nd. Once one of those are finished, then...
This is it.
This is it.
When he says this is it, what does he mean?
This is it. This is it. This
is
it.
Is he talking about retiring a certain set list or retiring certain songs or retiring from the road forever? What's
no more live shows in the U.S. of A, Trent Reznor says.
Why just the O2 Arena for 50 dates. That's it.
Then that's it. Then this is it.
Jermaine or Tito.
Then this is it.
So what's the date in Los Angeles? August 22nd?
The dates start. The new U.S. tour dates start in New York City, I believe, on August the 22nd. And no word on the exact dates yet, but it'll be sometime late summer when they'll be coming here to L.A. So you can check out Nine Inch Nails for what Trent Reznor says will be the last time.
Is Nicole Alvarez on Suicide Watch? Has anyone checked in on her to see how she's doing?
You guys used to be good, and then you stopped touring. What are you selling out for?
She said.
I think the only thing that gets her through is knowing there's another Nine Inch Nails show on the calendar. You know, date to date, she survives. So
she does
I don't know
love
what she's going
to
do without
him. I'll tell you. Every time I go to a Nine Inch Nails show, she's there, even including when we went to Chicago to see them.
She was there?
Yeah.
Lollapalooza. Oh, my God.
How bizarre.
Lindsay Lohan's in the news.
Yeah. Lindsay continues her streak of making excellent choices.
Okay.
She's a good decision maker. That's what
she
is.
Her last good decision was, yes, I'll have another Jägermeister, please. This decision was, she turned down a role in the summer blockbuster The Hangover. She was offered the role of Jade, the stripper played by Heather Graham in the film.
Wow.
But Lindsay turned it down because she said, quote, the screenplay had no potential.
Okay.
Did she not read it?
That's going to be one of my top 10 movies of all time when I die.
Yeah.
My list changes a lot, but that one's not going to fall
out. You better
out.
Die quick because your top 10 rotates pretty much on a semi-monthly basis.
It does, but that one is stuck because it is
That's
great.
Locked in?
It's a
That's
classic.
Locked in the top 10?
Locked in.
Does it have a position it's locked in or it just
nope.
is going to rotate through
I'll
the top
I'll tell you, though,
10?
It is locked in the top 5.
Wow.
Somewhere
wow.
in the top 5, okay. depending on what happens. But what a terrible choice that was
yeah.
for her.
And by the way... Lindsay Lohan would be hot right now had she taken that Heather Graham
yes.
role.
Yes.
People would be really excited to see her act again if
her
she'd been in
Her career would have been rejuvenated with
and
that
And she's
night.
Smoking hot, too, as well.
Yeah,
and
she's
that's
a beautiful girl.
Smoking hot
And
role.
A talented actress. And she could have, once again, proven that she can do comedy, which I think
wow.
she can. So, yeah, it would have been a big, big, big step for her. Apparently, Lindsay's agent really had to campaign hard to get Todd Phillips, the director, to consider her for the role.
Right.
Once he did and then made her the offer, she opted not to take it. So that's the kind of thing that makes agents, now most agents, don't get me wrong, are scum-sucking bottom dwellers.
Right.
But that makes an agent's life really miserable when you're trying on behalf of your client to do something good and then they come along.
And you know it would be great for your client.
And yeah. she's a bad bet. So for them to offer to her
a major motion picture
deal.
That is, you know, well, at the time it wasn't that big of a wager because it's a low-budget comedy with no real stars
right.
in it.
Right. But I mean,
so it
know.
Would have been... You know, I can see where on paper you might not jump out at you and say this is going to be a huge
but
blockbuster.
If you read
no
it,
one expected it to be. A
no, but
a
if
big
you read it,
hit.
It would have been funny.
It would, if nothing else, even yeah. if it hadn't been a box office success, it would have been a solid comedy to make. That's
no
for
question.
Sure. Yeah. So, Lindsay once again put down the bong.
Her That's agent's head exploded,
and a romance is in the air between Kellan Lutz and Annalyn McCord. Annalyn McCord, of course, of Beverly Hills 90210. Kellen Lutz, of course, is that that attorney you call when if there's an accident or something on the workplace. He'll get you what you deserve. If you've got mesothelioma from working with asbestos, I think you call his number.
No. This guy's the Twilight
Lutz,
actor.
Lutz and Lutz, I think, is the name of the firm.
Totally different guy. This guy's in Twilight. He's an actor.
Oh, well, apparently the two of them are having a super hot affair. The New York Post claims that they attended a big July 4th party over the weekend where they shocked guests by announcing they were looking for a place to go hook up. And then they went into a private room alone and locked the door, and the next thing you know...
I like that.
Flames.
Does anybody know where we can have sex together?
Hey, excuse me, everybody? We really need to f***. You have a closet, or is there? You have like a pantry that's not being used right now.
I'm sorry for what we didn't
so we
hear
can go
you.
Is that bad
like
form?
To stick
if you're
my in her.
Oh wow, wow! Too
I'm just
graphic.
Saying, that's
too
the
much.
Announcement. That's
but
the
we
announcement
know what you're
made.
Talking about.
I don't think you do.
Details
I don't think,
of
I understand.
It
I don't think you guys understand.
We understand sex.
Really?
Yeah. Trust me. But my question is, as a guest in someone's home, is it considered bad form to then defile their couch or tub or wherever you end up doing it?
Oh, I don't know.
It?
Ask Ralph Garman.
How dare you, sir?
Ralph came to a party at
I
my house.
I would never.
And did it in a bathroom. Which
well,
I have,
what's up?
Since I have since torn down.
In my defense, it was Y2K. We didn't even know what was going to happen.
When the
clock struck midnight, we did not know what was going to happen.
Right.
The planes were going to drop from the sky.
Right.
Society as we know it was going to crumble. There was going to be rioting in the streets.
Right.
Famine, pestilence.
You can't have sex before you come to my party?
You got to get one in before it's all over.
How do you know he didn't, Kevin?
That's true.
That's a good point.
On the way to your party, in the car, the valet line, before I got out to your party, at your party.
I literally,
after
when I
your
heard
party.
That, when I heard that, I don't know what I was expecting, but I walked right to the bathroom to have a look.
What did you think you were going to see?
I don't know. I just thought, no.
Scorch marks on the walls?
I knew I wasn't going to see that.
Police tape?
You're going, yeah. I think we understand that, too.
Just building up a lot of speed, I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthdays, Sophia Bush.
Oh.
Speaking of having sex in your bathroom.
Giggity, giggity.
27 years old today. Milo Ventimiglia from Heroes.
Is that the dude that paid me $100?
32, it is.
Love that guy.
He's the one who said he had the ShamWow in his trunk.
We were talking about the ShamWow just randomly, and he said, I have one of those in my trunk right now. And I said, no, you don't. I'll bet you $100. And he went out and looked, couldn't find it, gave me $100.
Yeah, he's a sucker.
I said, I'm not going to take your money. He said, I would have taken yours. So
good enough.
I took it.
Yeah, he's Italian, man. He probably had you whacked if you hadn't paid him. You know, they are
true.
With their mafia.
All of them?
All of them. Yeah. Their mafioso murders and whatnot. He is 32 years old today. Singer Beck turns 39. Billy Crudup, very talented actor from Almost Famous and most recently from The Watchmen. He is 41. Andy Fletcher, keyboardist for The D-Mode, Depeche Mode, 48 years old. Kevin Bacon, fellow son of Philadelphia and a very talented actor. He is 51. And Jeffrey Tambor, from Arrested Development, The Larry Sanders Show, turns 65 years old. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.